Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sovereign Minds. It is Sunday once again. Hello, Shasta County. How's everything going on out there?
I guess it all depends on exactly where you are in Shasta County. How it's
yeah,
going.
Well, or Trinity County or Lake yeah. County, there's a lot of fires going on out there. But anyway, my name is Mark Kent. I'm your host once again. We'd like to thank all you people that help sponsor our radio program out there in the North State. You know who you are. Today is Sunday again. What is today? It's actually August. I forgot to change the date. So it's August the 2nd.
Yep, it is.
I'm not sure who our guests are today. I think we're having Cole and Gunn and then somebody else, maybe, possibly.
Yeah, we're having a little communication problem going on. So hopefully Colin will be calling in, but we're not sure. So we're just going to wing it and go from there. There's plenty of news to talk about.
I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who was just extrapolating the fact that we don't have a guest and she's not sure.
Good morning. Hey, doesn't happen very often.
And what are the ramifications of that?
Just wait and see. You never know.
Anyway, I'm here with my sister Linda. She does all the heavy lifting. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Red.
And
good
we also
have
Red as he's been holding over here over the last few weeks, and we kind of like it because the discourse gets really great. So we've got Red Smith here in the studio with us too.
Morning again, everybody.
Good morning.
Anyway, we are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that is 530-605-4567. And all of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneview at Destiny Fellowship.
Oh, wow. Ding, 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 ding. Got it right.
Yeah.
Oh, so after now we got the revenge thing going on here. Yeah, that's all right. Let's see who can, badmouth the other one the most. that's all right. I'm used to this. Tea Party, every Monday night. They stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. And does anybody have a clue as to who
yes,
is there?
Yes, we do. Hi.
Oh, okay.
Janet Chandler is going to be our speaker on Monday night. She is running for the Board of Supervisors, District
3.
Thank you.
There you have.
Yeah, so come out. We've had her on the show in the past. She's got some great things to say. So come out and show your support and at least learn something about what she's standing for in regards to the Board of Supervisors, since we need to replace some of them up there.
Yeah, dollars to donuts. I think you'll like what she has to say.
Yeah.
Well, anything that she has to say is, in my opinion at this point, much better than any of the incumbents have to say, other than I'll say Bill Chappelle, who happens to be my supervisor, and I'm not saying that just because he's my supervisor, because he actually is a person who believes in the Constitution, believes in what America stands for, and believes in listening to his constituents.
I was going to say, and listens to the people.
Yeah, unlike pretty much every representative other than that I can think of, except for maybe Gary Cadd.
At the Board of Supervisors, there's not too many others up there that do that.
Well,
we hope
Janet gets elected, and we're going to do everything we can to get those other people unelected at this point. Let it be known.
Yeah.
We're targeting these people because on both the City Council and the Board of Supervisors, they no longer represent the people at all. What they represent is their own self-interest, and that seems to be coming quite apparent at this point. So,
and it's not too early to get involved in this. I mean, this is what we need to do, even though the election's a little ways off. It's time to educate yourself, get involved, and start, you know, pushing whoever you do believe in, regardless.
Get geared up and ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, or maybe we should do like my buddy said and just accept the fact that you win some, you lose some, and it's no big deal, and you just kind of go along to get along.
Oh, no, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah, we got a bunch of Eeyores out there, but you know how it is. You know, you sit back, you know, it's like my friend always told me, he says there's three kinds of people. People who watch things happen, people who make things happen, and people who wonder what happened. And there's a lot of people out there wondering what's happening because it's hard to figure out what's happening when you've got your plugged into when you got your brain plugged into an electronic device 24/7 that plays
Dancing with the Stars
nonsense. Some of the stuff that's coming out, it's like, good grief, are you kidding me?
Kitten videos and cop beatings.
Jeez.
Well, that's, you go on Facebook, it's kitten videos and cop beatings. You know, one of the things that I caught, there was a guy on Facebook, he was doing a video and he was going around and he was asking, you know, how many people do you believe in America are gay? How many, what's the gay male population of America? And these kids are walking around, oh, 30%?
Oh,
40%?
I saw that.
You know?
50, 60%?
Yeah.
One guy said like 80%. I'm like thinking, man, I don't know where you live at, buddy, but you're not going to make it here in the North State because, you know.
And where were they, you know, maybe in L.A., San Francisco.
Yeah.
Well, it's... And in reality, it's like 1.8% of the population in America is homosexual. But these kids that get their information from Facebook and things like this, they're just so saturated with it that they assume that must be what's normal.
All right, these kids apparently can't do math because if it were 80%, we would have been extinct by now. We would.
Well, you forgot they're doing Common Core, Bob.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, I mean, it adds up that way.
1 + 1 = 0.
Boy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is, you know, here's the thing. It's like you listen to Bill O'Reilly. Oh, or Congressman Doug LaMalfa, for that matter. You don't want to get all your information off the internet. Well, of course, I guess it depends on what you're listening to and what your sources are, you know. But, gosh, if you're getting all your information off of MSNBC, you know, I bet what you're getting is absolute truth and down the line and accurate stuff, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's why there's no problem here. Just move along.
Or you can plug into cat videos and nonsensical YouTube and get nothing, too. You know, the old saying is garbage in, garbage out. And that if you poke nothing but garbage in, I don't care what source it's coming from, you're going to have a mind full of trash.
Yeah.
And
that's, a lot of that going on.
That's it.
Well, that's, I mean, there's good information out there, but you really got to dig. You got to look. You got to siphon through it. You got to verify.
You can't be lazy.
Yeah, you got to do your due diligence.
Or
push more than one button on your computer.
You know, the alternative to that is sit around and watch YouTubes about Cecil the Lion and contemplate your navel.
Who is Cecil the Lion?
we're going to talk a little bit about Cecil the Lion.
I was going to go on the navel part, but I'll leave it alone, you know?
Well, that'll be later in the show. We'll talk about
it. Hey, boy.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah, so you know, there's so much news out there. I mean, I don't even know where to start here. You know, I want to hammer Hillary here because it's just how much over the top more does it have to be? You've got Hillary denied sending classified emails to her private Clinton Foundation server, but unfortunately, you know, people are finding out that that's a hokum. For lack of a better word, or well, I actually have a couple of better words, but you know, one starts with B and the other one ends with a you know.
Be careful, Bob's not ready on the button over there.
Well, it is. It's asinine. You know, I can't believe anybody would imagine Hillary Clinton lied about anything.
I mean, here's the title from the Washington Times. Okay, this was written. I believe by Judge Napolitano, yes. Hillary Lies Again is the title. And this person is running for the presidency, and we have people out there that are actually considering electing her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 34% of them, apparently.
Like, what? So it doesn't matter if she's
an ordinary person, don't you know? And she's a grandma and
I never had sex with that woman.
Yeah, I wonder how many kids Bill does have out there.
It's hard to say because, I mean, they're just coming out of the woodwork. Even now, there's another blonde that came out of the woodwork that says that something going on there. I quit reading that nonsensical stuff. I am interested in the facts that we've got a, you know, former Secretary of State here, you know, who was involved in running guns from Libya to Syria with the approval of President Obama. And this is all documented now.
But that's okay. She fell and she bumped her head and doesn't remember any of it now.
That's a good. That's a good.
She doesn't have her glasses. She can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it appears that she's been managing her war, you know, so there's evidently, according to Napolitano here, there's a little private war going on, you know, that there was a little private war going on that she was managing, between running guns to Syria, you know, and you know, it's just unbelievable. You know, and Qatar is a hotbed of the Muslim Brotherhood, is one of the biggest supporters of global jihad. Jihad, I guess is how you pronounce it. I'm not fluent in Arabic. And Mrs. Clinton, who approved the sale of arms to Qatar, expecting them to make their way to Syria and Libyan rebels. Okay, this is all documented. Okay, she and her State Department caused American arms to come into possession of known al-Qaeda operatives, and a few of whom assassinated our Ambassador Chris Stevens. Now, this is not going away as much as everybody would like it to go away because, you know something, the evidence gets worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, she has lied. She's committed treason. And by the way, the mainstream media just doesn't even care about this. And her supporters don't even care about this. And she's, you know, for sale to the highest bidder. And Obama's involved in this and we don't care about this. Are you stupid out there that the people that would vote for her at this point? I mean, I don't care, guilty or not. Is this not enough to kind of put a quash in her candidacy? She should be in handcuffs.
But she's a woman.
Oh, and this must be the war on women that they've been talking about. Yeah, the war on treasonous, lying women who sell out their country for money. There's some problems here. Okay, there's some problems here, and this is going to, you know, you're going to see more and more of this coming out because it's not going to go away. And, you know, because we're going to keep bringing it up, the people are going to keep bringing it up. It doesn't matter whether these people are prosecuted or not. What's starting to happen in this country is everybody who has got a brain in their head is starting to understand what's going on here, and that's the awakening that's starting to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, and with that, I think we're going to go to a break, and then we do have a guest. Her name is Mary Baker.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of spaced it up. That's all my fault, and I'm so sorry, Mary. I've been really busy this last week. Ninja.
Ninja Citizen?
Ninja Citizen, yes, yeah. Thank you.
All I have to say is,
So we will come back and we will talk with Mary Baker on Ninja Citizens.
Strike two.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
They call me the mouth.
And I'm Red. They call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la sriracha. Chicken with sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes. Original Shack. Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
And life goes on.
What? Well, we're all screwed up this morning.
Yeah, we do have a guest, and her name is Mary Baker.
It's pretty much all your fault.
Oh, yeah. At least somebody does something, you know. I'm just saying.
A little defensive, aren't we there? Yeah,
it's just truthful.
So we have Mary Baker on the phone. And Mary Baker is from I guess it's Society of a FreeRangeAmerican.com or FreeRangeAmericans.com is where I was looking. And it says that the website's down or something there. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself. How to become a citizen ninja, I think, is what we were.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here speaking with you.
Well, thanks for coming on. I'm sorry I kind of lost you in the shuffle there.
She was kind of she was busy making sandwiches for the people on the fire.
Yeah, I actually was at 2 a.m.
Awesome.
Or 3 a.m. So
that's okay.
So
I'm on it.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this.
Well, I'm from Southern California, so I'm.
I'm sorry. It's okay. We'll let that go.
So it's a little bit more urban area than where you all live, but and a little more conservative because of the military. But we are still under the same oppressive rules and mandates that are coming down from the state and federal government. And I didn't start off as a citizen ninja. I was just a regular member of the public who. I was becoming concerned about the direction the city was taking on the climate action plan that they were proposing. And we own a small business in the region, so we decided, my husband and I decided I should go down there. I should go down. I read the plan. I had some concerns about small business. In fact, I was looking for who was representing small business, and the only business representative there was SDG&E, San Diego Gas and Electric, which isn't exactly small business.
Hmm.
Anyway, I went to this public workshop where they were seeking feedback. And, I was expecting basically the foundations of self-government to be happening. That there would be a balance. There would be the public, would have an opportunity to give feedback, whether it was for the plan or against the plan, that it would be recorded,
Boy, you had I bet you had a rude awakening.
Yeah.
A rude awakening. Holy cow. So this is about 5 years ago. And instead, what happened is when I got up with the microphone to, basically give some of my feedback, the facilitator who had a nice kindergarten voice, she said she was a former kindergarten teacher, and I thought, what does that have to do with climate action plan? But I realized later that by saying she was a kindergarten teacher, it kind of made everyone want to like her.
Yeah, that's a definite Saul Alinsky or a Delphi technique. I mean, it's who can not like their kindergarten teacher?
Exactly. So she's the good guy, sets it up right from the beginning. And so when I persisted with my comments, she started responding in derogatory tone,
right,
accusing me of being naive, with no understanding of the issues. And she judged me as someone who didn't like change, right? This is their big thing. Oh, you just want business as usual, This is their what they accuse you of. And as I, continued to stay on message, other people in the room started to chime in and bully me. They were like, shut up.
Definitely Delphi technique, no question about it. Yeah.
I was shocked, so I just had no clue, right? So I'm leaving there going, what just happened? Is this, something that's going on everywhere? So basically they had kind of piqued me, they'd stung me a little bit. And so I went to some other meetings and noticed it wasn't as bad, but I noticed similar stuff. I was like, why would a city call for a public workshop to get feedback from the community and then shut down any opposition to the plan? Why just not take everyone's comment and log them objectively? Why judge us? And then the biggest question, because I was shocked, there were no citizens. Where were the citizens? No one was there.
Most of those are probably plants. Most of them are probably plants inside the meeting. And so that they can attack a person who's actually bringing up a valid point.
Exactly. So that was the beginning for me. And I thought, okay, this, we've gotten away from the importance of public deliberation here, of public feedback. I mean, this is how we participate, by law, we are supposed to participate in this way. And the citizens who were there were being shut down. And then, just the most concerning thing was there were no citizens, not enough, participating in this very important process. So anyway, that's what got me going. And so the more I started going to meetings like Metropolitan Planning Organization meetings, like the one we have down here, SANDAG, the more I realized I saw other activists getting up and blowing it, just, you know, yelling, using, you know, throwing word bombs, you know, kind of throwing out conspiracies with no facts to back them up. And I thought, this is a nightmare.
Yep.
We're not going to get anywhere with this approach. So I basically started coming up with a way that I could train people to be more effective. You know, so I challenged myself to get out there and start coming up with some techniques that would be efficient, that would lead to success, and that would not damage my credibility so that I could continue to have conversations.
Well, it sounds like people. The first thing to do then would be recon your enemy. And that's typically the way you'd want to go on something like this. I'm assuming that you actually went in and you know, they say the best way to teach is, you know, or to learn stuff is become the teacher. And so is that what happened? Did you actually go in and find out that they were using these techniques and so forth?
Exactly. So I started going to their meetings, like especially the NGOs and non-governmental organizations and nonprofits that proliferate, especially the Green Movement. I started going to their, you know, seminars, their conventions, their forums, and boy, I'm telling you, it was tough, but I went and, you know, saw what, you know, the way they were naturally, if they weren't in front of a public, you know, that you don't know where the public's coming from. And that gave me a lot of good information. It taught me their vocabulary. It taught me what their values were, so that then I could meet them at that place. And then, you know, to try to find, you know, maybe things we might have in common, you know, so that we can then begin, we had a place to start and then move. Now, that's actually advanced work right there. It didn't start off that way. And so what I teach basically are strategies and tactics to help people navigate this world of politics and government. So for example, we have to know our facts. That would be a fundamental piece to facing the public successfully. You can't just go up there and argue on an ideological basis. Because everyone is entitled to their opinion,
and
it just doesn't get you.
How hard is that? Because it doesn't seem like these people are interested in facts. I mean, what they're interested in is, like you say, you bring up a fact, and the conversation goes completely, you know, takes a 180 about, you know, how you don't care about the children and you hate the whales and whatever it happens to be. But I mean, how do you keep these guys on track? Because they're not trying to track. They're trying to you know, get the train off the track.
Right. Well, so going back to your comment about recon, one of the first things you have to do is a technique I call pegging. I came up with this. You know, you have to peg people. So you have to determine, is the person I'm about to speak with or the group, right, that I'm about to get up and make a comment, are they informed people? In other words, are they people that believe in the same things I believe in? Are they uninformed? Are they, you know, they just don't have all the facts. And so then in that case, I can give some facts and not, you know, open the hose, the fire hydrant hose, right? And completely, drown them in facts, but just give them a few to just begin to teach them. Or are they misinformed? You know, and these people tend to be quite defensive, so you have to be really careful with misinformed people. Or are they partisan, like the ones you just described, the ones that are the complete opposite from you, that, you know, if it's partisan to me. So if someone came up to me and said, you know, I believe that and tried to convince me that communism was the right form of government, there's not a snowball telling chance I would ever agree with that. So what I propose to citizen ninjas is that they focus mostly on the uninformed and the misinformed, because that's where you can have the greatest influence. That's where there's a door open for you. So, you know, you can argue with a partisan person if you have good emotion regulation and you know how to, you know, call them on their fallacy arguments, but it's often kind of a waste of time. Where we can spend most of our time is with the uninformed and the misinformed.
Right, yeah, because I was always told that only an idiot argues with an idiot, and that's really true in a lot of these cases because, you know, you're never going to change their point of view. They're getting paid to have this point of view in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you just ask them a few questions like, do you believe in the 10 platforms of the Communist Manifesto? Everybody raised their hands, you know, they'd all go, yeah, Marx was good. You know, and then so how do you, you know, convince anybody otherwise that's running the meeting? So I guess what you're saying is target the people who are not actually working or, you know, plants in the meeting.
Exactly. So, but when you are in that kind of meeting, so I have a story for that. I was, now this is advanced work, right? So I've learned how to peg my audience. I've learned how to make, to use their language, right? So that they can, they'll hear it, right? I've learned how to, I've read and memorized some of the facts from their sources that they, you know, that they like, that contradict their beliefs or their plans. So in this particular meeting, it was for a corridor, you know, highway, they were looking to, you know, SANDAG, it's the Metropolitan Planning Organization for Transportation. So they were studying this particular highway corridor down here. And so they had invited the public, and the way they Delphi'd it was they set up different tables on different topics, you know, like mobility, climate, borders, et cetera. And then they asked the public, that they told the public they would have three opportunities. There would be three shifts. They could go to any table they wanted, and then they would switch three times, and then the group would come back together. So when they did that, I knew that they were basically, you never heard what other people were saying at the other table.
Yeah, so maybe you could tell us a little bit about the Delphi technique for the listeners in the audience that don't, you know, aren't familiar with that, as something that is typically practiced in these type of meetings where, you know, they're trying to get the consensus of all the people at the meeting. There's people that are there that aren't there on the premise that what you think they're there for. They are actually a group of people that are operating in concert in order to get consensus with the group their way. Is that a pretty good assessment?
Yeah, that's a great description. So by law, when government puts together a project, they have to bring it to the public mm-hmm. for consensus, right? They have to get a consensus from the public in order to be able to move on with their plans, even though when they don't have consensus, they still often will move forward. But anyway, but by law, they have to do this. And so when these public-private partnerships, because this is what they are, you've got government, NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and corporate businesses that will profit from these plans, they get together and are the early decision-making stakeholders, right, the ones that will benefit from the plan in some way. They get together, they come up with, you know, a couple of ideas, two or three plans, and then they present those plans to the public. Now, they've invested quite a bit of time, money, resources in coming up with these plans, and they want these plans to go through, but they need the public to participate and to comment. And so they set up these workshops. Now, in order to move the public towards this, what would be a false consensus or predetermined outcome of, yes, we approve the plan, they basically divide and conquer the public or bully them to make them feel like they should definitely be part and agree with the plan.
So what you're saying is that basically this Delphi technique is standard procedure and is a ruse to sway, to give the appearance that they're backed by the public.
Exactly. Now, I wouldn't say it's standard because, you know, there are still, especially in small communities, in ones that are typically more conservative leaning, there really is still a belief in the proper course of public deliberation, that you can have robust debate, that the community can disagree, that all opinions will be considered and weighed. But the larger the city, or when it's regional, when it's a regional plan that crosses over local jurisdictions, the higher the stakes.
Right.
And the more they want this project to go through. So you know, the Plan Bay area is an example of what happened there. Seven or nine counties.
And this is exactly how Marxism works. They override the local governing bodies that are elected, and they set up a body of unelected officials that can override the local governing bodies, and they're unelected, and they have an agenda pretty much down the line. From what we've seen, you know, the agenda is consolidating, you know, using the environmental movement or whatever movement is available to them, or that the issue that they're trying to, you know, push, whether it's, you know, global warming, you know, as a way to take over the government. I mean, that sounds very conspiratorial, but it's actually, that's exactly what they're doing, isn't it?
It is. But so with Citizen Ninja, what I'm trying to do is get people to activate at the local level in very simple ways, right? To basically take back their role as the governors and of our country, right? Self-government, a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We've abdicated basically our responsibility and handed it over to these public-private partnerships to make these decisions for us. So when we don't show up, you know, we basically are tacitly agreeing with their plans. And, you know, the thing that people don't realize, especially conservatives, is that the progressives are showing up. They are showing up at these local meetings, council meetings, school board meetings, whatever, planning board meetings, water board meetings. They are showing up and making their views and opinions known. And there's no balance in the debate. There's no, you know, conversation is not balanced. And so here's the public. Here's the city council, right? They're sitting at the dais. Behind them, they have a staff that has basically been indoctrinated to believe in sustainable development and smart growth and new urbanism. And then they've got a public who's in front of them who's progressively pushing enforceable climate action plans, for example.
Well,
and we're not there. We are not there.
Well, what's wrong with sustainable development and smart growth? I mean, what's wrong with all that? It sounds really good.
Doesn't it sound so smart?
And sustainable. It's really smart and sustainable. And those are words that, you know, should mean that this is good. And so what's wrong with smart and sustainable?
Well, that's the brilliance of their propaganda. You know, they use words that, of course, we want to be smart in how we develop. And if you don't, they make you feel like if you don't believe in smart growth, then you must be dumb. You know, it's amazing. I was just at a 100% clean energy forum last week, and every word out of their mouths was, we want to be smart about this. This is the smart way to do it. We want smart meters. And you know, I mean, it was crazy. And so what people have to understand is when they hear terms like that, ask them questions. So another technique is to ask a question, right? So instead of getting on the defensive, just ask a question to get them to answer. So, for example, you would say, so tell me, what is smart about smart growth? Or tell me, what in your community is not sustainable right now? Or you talk about quality of life. Where in your community do you not have quality of life right now? And get them to kind of answer their own questions. Put the onus on them to have to defend their ideology.
That's a really good point. I like that because, you know, when you understand this stuff, in my opinion, smart equals government control and government, you know, less control at the public's level. I mean, it means takeover of your wells. It means that they lock up all the forests so you can't use them. And it means that they circumvent your property rights, you know, and that's all sustainable stuff, you know. And so, you know, that's what I'm saying. The end of all this ends up is you end up with a big, huge government body that does not get controlled by we the people. They have their own agenda and they control all of our property rights.
Yeah. So citizen ninjas are basically the people in our towns who respond to community issues, and they're actively engaging the city hall, right, to influence, not when the decision's going to be made that night, but before that. You know, when they're having the workshops, they meet with the staff, they meet with their elected officials, or I call them elected public servants, you know, they influence them before they get to that meeting where now they're going to vote on it. Because
right.
by the time they get to the meeting where they're going to vote on it, it's too late.
It's too late. And I love that technique where you make them defend their positions, you know. So with that, I think we have to go to a break, Mary, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
In a second.
If you want to call in and have a question or comment for Mary, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger.
Have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco and Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco and Brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
It's Molly Kidd, and I'm taking over the radio this summer during On the Spot with Linda Bott. Find out what's hot and what's not in the North State. Wine, food, music, and fashion. It's every Thursday night from 6 to 7. Listen in and find out where you need to be this summer. It's On the Spot, but with Molly Kidd. Special thanks to Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield Repair.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, we have the barbecue bottles have showed up at the plant now, and we have an exchange program if you're in a hurry. Gary, Mad Dog Stallone, and Rhett are waiting to help you. Robin also has propane exchange at Corning, so stop by and let her show you. Joe is filling tanks and motorhomes at Weaverville, so come in and say hello. We have all the bulk oil tanks full at the Redding plant, and everything from tractor hydraulic to synthetic motor oils and lubes. Before the boys run off to the fires, check your tanks and levels and give Danny a call. We deliver about everywhere. A special thank you to all the companies and individuals who donated to the 4-H FFA Community Barbecue. It was very hot, but it turned out to be a great success. Thanks from all of us at Northern Lights Energy. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show on Friday, August 14th at 7:30 a.m. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Summer is here, and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So pick up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Did you ever look at the stains in your coffee cup and then realize that's exactly what happens to your teeth? Paraswabs is the five-minute solution to get your teeth white without visiting the dentist. This is John Greenhut, the CEO of Paraswabs. And if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, all it takes is 5 minutes with Paraswabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. It's clinically proven to whiten natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. The secret is a tooth detergent that was developed by Dr. Martin Ginniger that lifts stains off of your teeth. Best of all, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try Paraswabs risk-free, call 1-800-678-4730. That's 1-800-678-4730. I guarantee your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-678-4730. That's 1-800-678-4730.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
I'm up on a tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus game with you and me. I'm up on a tight rope. One side's hate and one is hope. But the top hat on my head is all you see. And the wire seems to be the only place for me. A comedy of errors and a falling. Like a rubberneck giraffe, you look into my past. Well, baby, you're just too blind to see. I'm up in the spotlight.
Yeah, we're up on the tight wire, all right. Like that one side is hate and one side is hope. And, yeah, we need to get control of this, and we need to get more people involved out there as to what's going on, and the apathy needs to stop. You know, I don't know. I'm thinking about what you said about educating the people before the vote. I mean, can you really actually educate these guys? I mean, from our perspective, it seems the only thing they understand, the people that you elect at these board of supervisors and who's ever controlling these meetings is angry voters and pressure. I mean, maybe you can give us another technique here, because, you know, we're thinking tar and feathering starting to come into play here. I don't know, Mary. It's just getting to the point where, holy cow, you know, I mean, what do you do with these guys?
Well, so the first thing in our mind that we have to understand is that we've relinquished our power. Right, we're actually the one that have been given the power in our representative republic, but we've relinquished it. We've abdicated it. We haven't exercised it.
Enforced
yeah,
it?
Exactly. We haven't exercised it. Our civic duty, and so therefore, a lot of people see government agencies as holding all the power, when in fact it's not actually how it's set up. So the first thing that people have to switch is this idea that the government has this power, when it's really us that have it. And if enough people, that's why I'm doing this training, and also Center for Self-Governance is another organization that's doing what I'm doing, train the people to understand that we are the true power. And when we speak to them, do it in a way that is more akin to a partnership, really. We're the boss, but in other words, when you elect someone into office, a lot of people just go home. They go, oh, he's there, finally, you know, we beat out the Democrat, my guy or my gal's in there, and they're going to do everything I want them to do. No. That's not how it works.
Boy, that's a fact.
They get influenced by their staff. They get influenced by, you know,
by money,
their power, by money, by et cetera. And so we actually, in between election years, we have to continue to stay engaged. Now, Citizen Ninja is really a focus on local government, right? Because that's where the seed starts, right? These people start in their local governments, and then they move up. Some of them who have ambitions move up the ladder and to, state or congressional levels. But so Citizen Ninja is the importance of engaging at the local level, because that's where our voice is the most impactful. So after, we work hard in an election year to put somebody in office, We actually have to keep going to the meetings. We have to keep engaged with them, set up coffees, you know, and go in there and say, hey, so tell me, how are things going? You know, and you have to do, I do this with four of the five city council members in my town. I've been meeting with them for years, you know, ever since I had that terrible experience. I'm like, whoa, I've got to engage.
Yeah, you got to hold them. I think you got to hold them accountable too when they do something wrong. You can't just say, oh, gee, you know, we'll overlook that and give them a pass and not say anything.
No, totally. You have to, but not just hold them accountable, but also be there in the process of it, you know, so that those conversations are happening before the final, you know, vote. And, you know, so an example of that is there was an open seat in our town because a council member won the seat for mayor. So his seat was open. You know, I went ahead and I applied for that appointment. There were 20 people who applied. I made the top, you know, nine, and then someone was selected. But what that did, just doing that, got me appointed then to the budget review committee. It got me appointed. It got me appointed by the city manager to be on our commercial corridor road study, which is a total, you know, stomping ground for Agenda 21, you know, sustainable development opportunities. So this is how I did it, right? So I'm getting in. I'm basically getting my seat at the table. That is my rightful seat to be part of those early decision making moments.
Let me just finish, and I don't
go in there with an agenda to change everyone's mind. I go in there, like you said earlier, to recon, to peg, to understand where people are coming from, to meet them with the language that they're using if I have to use facts, to from resources that they consider legitimate.
To expose them. Expose them is what you're saying, to expose them for their positions.
Exactly, yeah. And then, see, now what's happening is I'm reporting back to city council on all this stuff.
Hmm.
And so now they know, they kind of know, okay, this is what's going on. I've educated them. And so now they are way more informed when it's going to come time for the city council workshop on this. They're going to be way more informed than they would have otherwise.
Otherwise,
they would have just been relying on their staff because they're the experts.
Can you give us some examples of some wins that have come out of using this methodology? Some things that you've been able to alter?
Sure. So really, a really lovely win was one that happened in Aliso Viejo on the coast in Orange County. We had a city council member who was a friendly in there, and he had actually he ran for city council because he saw that they were doing a climate action plan and he wanted to get involved in stopping it. So he ran for office and won. So now it was time for this to be presented to council for a vote. And our group of citizen ninjas and some from Northern California, he contacted us and he said, look, will you please read through this climate action plan and come up with questions that I can ask the city planner? Well, we came up with, it was like 244 questions, legitimate questions about the plan, where he needed to basically answer with facts to support what he wanted to do for the city. And he gave that strategically to the planner a week before the meeting. And the planner went ballistic. He was like, I can't answer all these questions in a week. He went to the attorney. The attorney said, you have to.
That sounds like the way to go.
Yeah. But the initial first step of that was getting a champion in office and letting them understand the influence of the voters was behind him.
Mm-hmm. So by the time the meeting came, he got a bunch of people to come. You know, there were probably 100 people in the chambers, and I would say 90% of them were against the climate action plan, were there to speak against it. And essentially, by the end of the meeting, there was absolutely no consensus whatsoever. You know, the planner, we basically, you know, 244 questions he wasn't able to answer for to justify, you know, the cost primarily of this plan. And, you know, so it, essentially by the end of the evening, the vote was, we have to shelve this. We can't proceed. And that was it. So that was a great win.
Well, Mary, we're going to get cut off at the top of the hour here, but if you want to hang with us, we will pick this conversation up on the other side of the hard break.
Okay, great.
All right, this is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. How much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby used to hook me a little.
Remember.
When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't.
Hour 2 of Sovereign Minds is coming your way next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Republican presidential hopefuls are preparing for the first debate this coming Thursday. Texas Governor Rick Perry is downplaying the whole affair.
How you do in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina is going to have a lot more to do with who's going to be the nominee than whether somebody makes a debate presentation on the 6th of August of 2015.
He spoke to Fox News Sunday. Memphis police are looking for the man who shot an officer to death last night.
Once officers arrived on the scene, they located an MPD officer who had been shot during what appeared to be a traffic stop. The officer was transported to here to Regional Med in critical condition, but later pronounced deceased due to multiple gunshot wounds.
Memphis Police Director Tony Armstrong on WMC-TV. The victim was 33-year-old Sean Bolton. Fiat Chrysler is recalling more than 322,000 sedans worldwide because side airbags can inflate if the doors are slammed too hard.
The recall covers certain Dodge Chargers between 2011 and 2014, mainly in the U.S. and Canada. Officials say the airbag control modules may be too sensitive and need to be recalibrated. Last week, more than 843,000 Dodge Ram pickups were recalled for the same problem. The company says the Charger recall stems from an internal investigation launched because of the truck recall. Owners will be notified when they can bring cars in for repairs. In the meantime, the company says people should use caution when closing doors. Ron DeRockstra, SRN News.
The U.S. and Egypt have resumed formal security talks that were suspended 6 years ago amidst the political unrest that swept through that country. Secretary of State John Kerry met today with Egypt's foreign minister in Cairo. He is due to meet with the president of Egypt before he leaves. Next stop for Kerry is Qatar. This is SRN News.
Did you know by age 50... half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more trips to the bathroom, waking at night to go, even longer time in the bathroom. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-859-2805. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to use the bathroom, speed up bathroom trips, reduce waking at night to go, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-859-2805. That's 1-800-859-2805. Call 1-800-859-2805.
Officials say two soldiers have been killed, 24 others wounded, in a suicide attack by Kurdish rebels in eastern Turkey today. The governor's office for Agri province says Kurdistan Workers' Party members, or PKK militants, attacked a military police station with an agricultural vehicle laden with explosives early this morning. The attack comes amid next escalation of violence between the government and Kurdish rebels, with Turkey conducting almost daily airstrikes on PKK bases in northern Iraq and rebels attacking security forces. Some 24 people have been killed in the renewed violence, most of them soldiers. A New York City health official says there likely will be more cases of Legionnaires' disease over coming days amidst an outbreak that sickened dozens. Dr. Jay Varma says he believes people may have been infected before the city cleaned cooling towers where the disease-causing bacteria had been found. City officials say four people have died, 65 people are sick. This is SRN News. A famous recording studio in Nashville, once slated for demolition, is now on the National Registry of Historic Places.
The designation of the RCA Victor Studios building, better known as RCA Studio A, was announced by the National Park Service on Friday. The studio was developed by country legend Chet Atkins in 1964, and the likes of Elvis Presley, Willie Nelson, and Waylon Jennings have recorded music there. Singer-songwriter Ben Folds has rented the studio for 12 years and led efforts to save the space that culminated in philanthropist Aubrey Preston's last-minute purchase of the property from the developer in October. That campaign helped spawn a larger effort to preserve Music Row from development. Keith Peters, SRN News.
Today is Sunday, August the 2nd. It's a birthday for a number of celebrities, including movie director Wes Craven, who is 76 years old. Figure skater Michael Weiss turns 39 today. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right. For a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American.
Welcome back.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire. I'm not even sure what that means, but I guess we're the home of that.
It's community radio for the North.
Yeah, what is the home of the Free Fire? I mean, what does that mean? Are we just free firing? Or
fire at will.
Fire at will. Yeah, that's it.
Be careful. Remember, we were warned.
We're
talking. We have to be careful today.
Metaphorically, of course. Always metaphorically.
Just saying.
Yeah.
But we were talking during the break, Mary. You hit upon elected officials like congressmen and stuff. Wonder if they're not reporting back to you, or like our congressman here for us said, you know, now that you've elected me, don't you just trust me in my judgment and what my votes are? When
yeah, he won't even last few calls that we've made into him, he won't even tell us what his vote is now. You know, this has been the last three calls. How bad is that?
Yes.
I mean, where he says he'll send out an email after the vote's over.
Yeah, and let us know how he voted.
And this is supposed to be Mr. Conservative up here in the North State, who's supposed to be for our constituents. So obviously he's not who he says he is. We've been hammering him lately because he's been caught on several occasions doing exactly the opposite of what his constituents have done. But bringing it back to the local level, we had 300 people at a Board of Supervisors meeting a year or so ago, and they just flat out ignored everybody. What do you do about that?
I know. Sometimes, but see, again, that's when you went to the meeting. A lot of this work has to happen when you're not at the meeting. It's setting up those relationships ahead of time.
So one-on-one meetings with the Board of Supervisors, basically telling them that, whoever you talk to, that, here's how it's going to work. If you're not going to listen to us or you can't answer these questions, then we're going to do whatever we can in our power to get you unelected. Is that the power?
Exactly.
Furthermore, what
Citizen Ninjas do is they're not just talking to elected people. They're engaging in political civil discourse, right? They're bringing back political discourse. we've been told there's, you know, never bring up religion or politics, you know, in a social environment or, you know, with anybody. But we can't do that, and that's exactly that's gotten us into the mess we're in. And so we've got to get back to having those conversations at the Thanksgiving dinner table, you know, with our brother-in-law, you know, has a completely different worldview from us. How can we engage in a conversation with them at the dinner table or with a neighbor or with even with someone at the grocery store? How can we begin to get back some political discourse so that we're thinking about it? It's on our mind. Government politics is on our mind. Because, you know, we can ignore it, but it's not going to ignore us. Eventually, we are impacted. And so trying to get back to a place where we can have some conversation about it is really important. So once people are awake and aware, you know, then that gets them engaged, that gets them into the process. And the more people we have in the process reclaiming their power, the better off we are.
Okay, Mary, we have a caller on the line. We have Todd from Butte County. And he's calling in about sustainability and development. Good morning, Todd. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, yeah. My question is, where does the funding come from that starts all these land use policies or zoning policies? Does Mary know where the funding comes from?
Well, a lot of the funding is from grants that are provided by the federal government, by different agencies like the Housing Urban Development HUD or EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, also the DOT, Department of Transportation. Since this is an agenda that is supported at the federal level, a lot of the grants are meant for this type of planning. And so, and it's actually almost every agency has some form of layering grant available to planners or non-governmental organizations to be able to implement this stuff, to pay for it.
Well, Mary, I mentioned that only because specifically on the HUD funding, I noticed in their notices of funding availability, it comes out every year, is written right into there is what they call the Strategic Plan 2015, and it is sustainable development. Mm-hmm. So by your counties accepting the money and getting money from HUD, they are literally tying their hands whenever it comes to land use policy. But yet, you mentioned about the public meetings, they're required by California law to have an open mind and independent thinking during the process. But they've already accepted the money from HUD for funding the meetings that is mm-hmm. tied into sustainable development. So exactly. It's a direct conflict of interest. Mm-hmm. Most counties, when they get down to, or cities, when they're planning their land use.
Mm-hmm. The thing is,
so an example of that is in my town, I found out about the further fair housing rule proposed change that would be part of HUD's new challenge grant, where if a city won that grant, the federal government essentially would have the authority to come into the town and determine zoning and land use. So way back when I found out about that, I immediately and occasionally, as news items came up and more information was available, sent that to my city council members so that they were aware of it prior to any attempt by staff to propose the use of that grant. So that's a way that you, in the early stages, preempt that kind of thing. Now, let's say they had been given the information, and I did it via email, so that there's a record that they received it, right, that they were put on notice about this. Let's say that they had agreed to take that they had voted on agreeing to take this grant. Well, then that's then my opportunity to expose them for what they did with their constituent, and basically build up a group of citizens to come to the meeting to try to counter their decision, and if there was no action, then to work on voting them out, recalling them or voting them out.
Yeah, I think
those are the powers that we have.
I think that's kind of where we're at this point, is getting them out. You know, we've got to get the guys on our board of supervisors replaced, because they're obviously, you know, they don't care about their constituents at this point. They've already got the money for a lot of these programs. So, you know, we're not in damage control now. I mean, we're in damage control mode as instead of preventative mode.
Yeah, we're trying to get somebody, you know, trying to replace some of the board of supervisors that are there and get some of our guys in there.
Well, you're seeing this kind of program across the board, whether it's with Common Core or funding for police departments, or you know, any funds now that are coming from the federal government are coming with strings attached that will allow the federal government to dictate how the local authority is to operate. And at the end of the day, they're bribing us with our own money. They're getting us to surrender our freedoms using our own money to do it.
So Common Core, let's
use
that
as
an example, because Common Core is basically a horse that's left the barn, right? They implemented Common Core without any feedback from the teachers, the school board districts, the parents, and the students. I mean, it was just flat out, this is what's going to happen. So to try to get Common Core out is very difficult. So the
could
strategy that we're using down here,
metaphorically speaking,
you know, there's no elected official that's going to, so what we've done is we've gotten our elected officials to agree that they want transparent government. I mean, what elected official is going to say, no, I don't believe in transparency?
Just like the IRS. Yeah, I mean, they're transparent.
So you get them to say, oh, absolutely. You know, we did this during the election, right? As candidates, the three seats that were open, we got them in a public setting to say, absolutely, I believe in transparency. Okay, so then they won. Now what we're doing is we're saying, awesome, since you believe in transparency, then you won't mind doing X, Y, Z. And basically what we've asked for and what they're doing, it's taking some time, but it's happening, is we've asked them to form citizen advisory board committees having to do with curriculum, technology use, and budget review, which they don't have in our district, which is shocking. And all three of these, since Common Core kind of touches all those areas, right, of curriculum, of money, and the use of technology for the tests and the assessments, we're now getting the citizens involved prior. You know, they're basically getting involved in the governance of what of the management of this body of government.
So
they literally said, "Oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that," because they support transparency.
Right. You know, I think. Are you still on the line, Todd?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I could add something to the conversation. And I was listening to one of the, in Washington, D.C., they had the EPA, and I can't remember exactly which board or committee it was in front of, but there was some Freedom of Information Act on emails of a top policy member, matter of fact, the senior policy member for the EPA. And in that Freedom of Information Act, his emails came out that he was telling the Sierra Club and all these environmental groups to write letters suggesting policies that would help them develop further policies and directly influencing the federal government. I just thought... that's how it all gets started. You end up with these policymakers that are cheating the system. They're not. It's not open and transparent. It's closed. matter of fact, to the public. Only a select few people and NGOs get to participate in these policy decisions.
Well, the next stage of this game, if we don't turn this around and get more people involved, is that we nullify the federal government and the local governments, for that matter, by not complying. I mean, and, you know, that's the worst place to start out. I mean, more people need to get these guys unelected and get control of these, governing bodies, because, again, revolution is the next stage here if we don't stop this. And in order for that to get to that point, you know, it's going to get really bad. I mean, and we're starting to see that on the horizon here, and like I say, Madison talked about state nullification, and, you know, but the ultimate power rested in the people to change the government that they were living under. So, I don't know. I mean, same with the Common Core thing. I mean, my stance is going to be on that, is I'm just not going to comply. Yep. If I have to pull my kids out of school or do what I got to do.
Or the vaccine thing?
Yeah, same thing. You just, the answer is no, we're not going to do it. If we have to move out of state, I guess that's the answer. But
they have to draw a line in the sand, because otherwise they just keep going and going. They don't stop.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that seems to be where we're headed.
Gather more and more power.
But you're right, Mary. I think the people have to start getting involved in their government, and that's why we've been apathetic up to this point, and now it's getting more and more difficult to turn the ship around.
So let me talk to this apathy, because what I've noticed is that people aren't necessarily apathetic. It's that they're not alarmed, because the language that's being used doesn't alarm them, right? They're either just, they're not clued in, and the only thing that gets them moving is whatever the media, right, and the opinion leaders emphasize and alarm people about. So I think a lot of times we feel like there's this apathy and no one cares, but I don't think it's necessarily that. It's the words that they're using that does not alarm the population.
Well, we've got
the propaganda and the marketing.
Everything,
you know, that
everything's got to go to. We've got to all. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but we've all got to get new media sources. You know, if anybody's getting any of their information mainstream media anymore without vetting it, they're just there's nothing you can do for them, because they're lost in a sea of lies. I mean, and that's really there's nothing that comes out of the mainstream media almost anymore that's not full of lies and non-transparency. I mean, these emails with the IRS and Hillary Clinton and everything else, you know, as an example of transparency, are exactly what it is. They say one thing and do another.
So, the words, like when they say, when the invasion of Crimea happened, you know, they called that an uncontested arrival. Well, no one's going to get really alarmed by an uncontested arrival as opposed to an invasion, the word invasion. This is an example of what I mean.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they have a narrative that they're trying to achieve with an agenda, and the sovereignty. It's, you know, an example of this media propaganda is this Cecil the Lion thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
The Cecil the Lion, it's like, okay, who cares about Cecil the Lion? They kill lions every other day in Africa. You know, I'm not saying just go out and kill lions just to kill them, and I believe in hunting if you're going to hunt for a reason, for food or whatever. But to run that story on our local, state, and the media, the big media sources, and not talk about the Planned Parenthood thing of literally dissecting babies and selling the parts, is that if people aren't waking up to that, there's just really no hope for them at all. I mean, if they care more about a lion than they do children, then, you know, some of them are just, that you'll never change them. It's the rest that we need to target.
Mary? Exactly, like I was saying in the beginning. So what I've done now is Citizen Ninja is going to be published. This whole technique and strategies and concept is going to be published in a book that will be available in the spring, and I'm so excited, because I just want to try to reach as many people as possible to a short little book, a step-by-step 101, you know, how do I do it, you know? How do
right.
I get involved?
Right. Well, that's
Mary,
what we mean.
How do I get a hold of your group?
So I noticed you said that my website is down, and I just went, and sure enough, it is down, so I got to investigate what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it too obvious that it says the bill wasn't paid or something.
I don't know.
So
Citizen Ninja
is not a group. Citizen Ninja is all of us. I'm just basically leading the charge and trying to teach people. And so I've got a workshop that I do, How to Become a Citizen Ninja, and so... you can contact me at MaryBaker@CitizenNinja.org, MaryBaker@CitizenNinja.org, to reach me about, you know, coming to your area to teach a workshop. It's a full-day workshop on how to do this stuff. And then in the spring, there'll be the hard launch for Citizen Ninja Stand Up to Power. It's about a 150-page book. It's being published through a small publishing company, actually, in Berkeley, but that is affiliated with mainstream distributors. So that's what I'm excited. You know, some people say, why aren't you going with a conservative publisher? And I said, because I already have that audience. I actually need to reach the conservative Democrats and the independents in this country who are being bullied by their own party, but who agree. And I'll give you an example of how I know this. I go to League of Women Voters meetings because they're supposed to be nonpartisan, but they're incredibly biased to the left. And when I stand up and sensitively ask questions that kind of expose them, I have women who come up to me afterwards and say, you know, thank you so much for asking that question. I wanted to ask the same thing, but I was afraid. Well, that's the group that we need to start talking. They need to start speaking up. And so I'm hoping that this book will inspire more citizen ninjas to do exactly that.
Very good, yeah, because the next step in this whole process is total enslavement, quite frankly. I mean, that's what we're
headed. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that you were touching on a minute ago is the power of words. And, you know, there's a reason that the First Amendment to the Constitution is free speech, because that is absolutely the first line of defense. And when you allow yourself to be hamstrung by political correctiveness and things like that, you are absolutely removing that first line of defense to just simply call something what it is and make people aware of it. They've got this distract and deflect to the point that you can't even make a comment about something that you don't spend 2 minutes first qualifying what you're about to say, because people are terrified of the repercussions and what they're going to say about it afterwards.
Yeah. Well, one of the ways I do to get around some of that when I find myself, let's say at a party, you know, and I don't know everyone there, and a lot of people are kind of in their what I call a resting zone at parties, but they really need to be in their assessing zone, because you never know when someone's going to drop some bomb, you know, and be like, and you feel your hair go up on end, you know, the red flags are popping up all over the place, and you're like, wait a minute, I need to respond to this, right? But most of us, because we're sort of in our resting zone, we react, right, emotionally or defensively. But what we need to be able to be is in the mindset of we're going to respond in an effective way so that this person can't get away with what they just said.
Yeah, and it requires
some
emotional.
One of the ways that I do that is, yeah, I get them to define the words they're using. Fascinating. So when they're talking about abortion, I say, well, can you describe for me what you mean by when you say abortion? What does that mean to you? And it's awesome, because what happens is they immediately kind of backpedal a little bit. They soften up. And they try to present sort of a more balanced,
palatable, you know, picture of what they're
talking
about.
Palatable picture. And yeah, that gives you, that opens the door for you to be able to, now you've got them in a more, kind of in a more calm, you know, sort of less aggressive stance. So that now you understand what they're defining as abortion. So now you can have a conversation, you know, or, let's see, what are some other bomb-throwing words, you know, racism, you know. Get them to
define it,
What does that mean to you? You know, get them to speak for themselves instead of you assuming. And also it removes the focus on you, and it gets it back on them
to have to defend their position.
I think that's a great technique. Yeah. I think that's a great technique because I think that what you'd find is a lot of people's definitions are exactly different than yours. I mean, when they say abortion, you know, my definition, what comes to my head is a late term, ghastly process, and some of these people have got it in their mind and that it's some kind of a surgical technique with there's no issues there at all, and you're just dealing with a couple of cells.
Right. An interesting thing, I tested this out. So most people when they're going to have a baby, right? The term that we use today is pregnant. I'm pregnant, or my wife is pregnant. So, but it used to be, we would say, she's with child, right? I'm with child. So think about when someone says, I'm with child, the first thing that pops into your head is a baby, mm-hmm. The image of a baby in the womb. But if you say you're pregnant, what comes to mind is a woman with a bump. And so I had a contractor here, and he came in. He said, my wife's pregnant. I said, do me a favor, Charlie. When you go around and talk to people and tell them that your wife's pregnant, instead of saying she's pregnant, say she's having a baby. Well, a couple of weeks, he's like, all right, whatever. He's learned to trust me. So a couple of weeks later, he comes, this comes up. I said, hey, by the way, I asked him, what was your experience? And he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, so I would forget, and I'd say, oh, Susie's pregnant. And then he'd say, yeah, she's with a child. We're going to have a baby. And he said, people's faces immediately light up. When you say you're pregnant, people are like, oh, that's awesome news. But when you say she's having a baby, their faces light up. So it's sort of, that's what I mean about it. Literally subtle stuff, yeah. But it begins to change people's attitudes.
Well, that's what the propagandists have been doing. Is it's right out of 1984. You change words, you change the meaning of words, and you change the concepts of the meanings of the words, and pretty soon, bad is good and good is bad. And Voltaire, I wrote read a saying on Thursday on Agenda 21 Radio, is that basically if people can get you to believe the absurd, they can get you to do the abominable. And that's paraphrasing, but it's really true, because if you don't understand what's actually happening here because they've twisted the meaning of the word to you, then you've missed the concept completely. We've got to go to a break. We're running out of time here. I wanted to let you know your website is back up, the Society of Free Range Americans.
Yep.
And so I'm not sure what that was all about. And where else can they reach you, Mary? Is that the best website, or is there another one you said?
So my email, marybaker@citizenninja.org.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. MaryBaker@citizenninja.org, and then the book will be available on all the mainstream sites, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and so forth, by spring of 2016, just in time for that presidential election.
There you have it. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on, and I wish we had more time to hold you over, but we've got to get some news items on the table here. But it's been a great conversation, and we really appreciate your input.
We'll have to have you back and see after the book comes out how that goes, and let people know. And
great. Thank you so much. It's always fun for me to talk about this.
It was great.
All right. Thanks
it.
A lot, Mary. If you want to call in, again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Got on board a westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do. All that talk of opportunities, TV breaks and movies rang true. Sure and true. Seems it never rains in summer. California. Seems I've often heard
got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Do you love brain teasers, interactive puzzles, and mind-bending challenges? Then you won't want to miss Turtle Bay's summer exhibition, Mindbender Mansion. Starting May 23rd, test your brain power by solving puzzles to reveal hidden clues and passwords in order to become a member of the Mindbender Society. Mindbender Mansion was created by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry and is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hey, Bob, let's go to lunch today at the Classic Cafe.
I've known Millie and Kathy for a lot of years. They serve some great food down at Classic Cafe.
Home cooking, great prices, and you get a hug when you walk in there from Millie and Kathy.
And you can just spend hours checking out the walls with those historical military displays.
That's right, Classic Cafe, 2427 Athens in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. A great place to eat, a great place to see what's going on.
And a great place to get a hug.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sleeps tonight. Well, let's see. I don't know. Maybe that was in bad taste, but I don't really care at this point because Cecil the Lion sleeps tonight. And you know something? The outrage that's growing over this is absolutely stupid. Are you kidding me? They kill lions all the time in Zimbabwe. Do you think Zimbabwe cares about Cecil? No, they care about the money. You know, they started trying to get extradition proceedings against this dentist who... who was guided by a professional. You know, he's
yeah, I was going to say, they have to be guided over there on any of the hunts.
Yeah, he's
so
accused
the guide's the one that took him in there and said, hey, this one's good, this is legal.
Well, I what I understand in late breaking news is Gary the Gazelle was actually a friend of the dentist, and Gary the Gazelle was whacked out by Cecil a couple weeks ago, and the dentist actually went looking for
so,
Cecil.
So what you're saying is Cecil wasn't a choir boy anyway.
Well, according to Zeke the Zebra, Zeke's not happy to or going to shed any tears that he's gone. He said Cecil was a real animal.
So I make a prediction that Zimbabwe is looking for a payoff here. It's not like they're in any kind of economic trouble at this point, you know. I mean, with 1,000,000% inflation or anything in the
last
few
years. Right,
how much
did they charge the guy in the first place for the hunt over there?
Well,
they're,
he paid,
it's not cheap, you know.
$50,000 American, you know. I mean, gee, I guess, you know, what a ripoff. The guy goes over and he pays 50 grand.
To a guide.
To a guide, you know. He sounds more like the victim to me here than anybody. You know, the guy pays 50 grand for a lion hunt. And, you know, so they stole this 50 grand, the guys that set him up for this. And, you know, and then we find out that Cecil, a major tourist draw at Hawaiian, was lured out of the park. Saying, I'm not sure how you lure an animal out of the park sanctuary in the first place, but and that was according to the Zimbabwe conservative.
Well, with the zebra.
The zebra. Zeke was in on it.
Yeah, and he suffered a slow death, according to conservation groups. Are you kidding me? You know, this is so stupid, you know, in light of
everything else we got going on.
I mean, I seen them run this story on Channel 7 here instead of the fact that they've got this ghoulish baby parts racket of you know, late term abortions, third trimester, 17
right.
weeks out, whatever it is. I don't want all the technical terms, and I'm not, you know, saying that I'm in favor or against, as much as I'm saying, that doesn't make the news. I mean, and if you're not against...
Where's your priorities with your story?
I mean, you're worried more about a lion than you are selling baby parts nationwide in a sting, and some judge, you know, has an injunction so that more videos can't come out against Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood, you know, happens to be, you know, G-funded and backed with McConnell and Boehner and you know, Ann Richardson's daughters involved, and
And there's a lot of companies involved with Planned Parenthood that have donated to Planned Parenthood.
And none of that makes the media, right? That's just a blip on the radar. Radar screen. Fox has covered some of it, but you know, I haven't seen one story in our local news, but they covered Cecil the Lion.
Well, I'd like to know how many people actually knew who Cecil the Lion was before he hit Facebook.
Nobody.
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that he got shot, you know, I don't think Cecil would be famous.
I mean, I'm not saying I approve of going out and shooting animals for sport in the first place, you know. But if
I don't.
But to put that above human life in such a way that is the major story, it's not just insane, it's freaking ghoulish.
It's evil. It's intentional.
Well, again, like we've talked before, what a good way to cover up everything else. Pull at the heartstrings of people
and
disregard the other stuff.
And then I hear our local news station getting the facts right. You know, and I feel like shooting. I feel like shooting the television. Getting the facts right. What are you freaking talking about? You don't even report the facts. You just ignore them.
You can't even get it right in
your little bubble. And we'll talk about some feel good story about how the conservationists and they're going after some dentist for shooting a lion in Africa. Like there's never been any lions in Africa shot before, really. I mean, I'd like to know what the numbers on legally harvested lions are in Zimbabwe or all of Africa, that matter, up to this point, besides Cecil. So he was a special lion because he was in the reserve, because he was a tourist attraction, and he brought money to the Zimbabwe government. That's now we might be getting closer to getting the facts right.
Right. And then the dentist has money enough for them to extradite back there and collect more from it.
And if you ask me, he's the victim. He paid 50 grand to some charlatan in Zimbabwe who took his money that, you know, and I'm pretty sure that he said, oh, here's 50 grand. Let's make sure this is an illegal hunt so I get extradited when I go home.
Yeah. Sure he did.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the plan all along.
Oh, yeah. Let's cause it a national, international stir so that I can be attacked and confronted in
my
house.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything better to do, pay my 50 grand and fly over to Zimbabwe so I could be prosecuted,
I personally think you're a schlep if you have to pay 50 grand to go hunting. But, hey, you know, what can I say? You know, I mean, not my cup of tea. I'm paying 50 grand. I'd rather buy a house than shoot a lion, you know.
Well, you can't hunt lions in America anymore. You know, mountain lions, we're not allowed to hunt. It's better that they destroy the game stocks and, you know, people's property and livestock and things like that. So, and in this dentist's defense, you do actually have to go to a different country to hunt lion anymore.
Is Zimbabwe still considered a country?
I'm not sure. At this point, I'm not sure what it would be called.
Considering as you could buy the place for a cup of Starbucks.
Well, that's it. I mean, I got some Zimbabwe dollars on my desk. If anybody wants to come by and show them to you, you know, they get $10 trillion and you can get a cup of coffee. I mean, it's not like they, you know, didn't have an over-expansive government that kept printing money until they printed themselves out of existence. God, that just sounds really familiar. Where else have I heard that?
I don't know. It'll come to you.
Yeah, I know. So, and speaking of, you know, government, let's talk about the transparency of our own government. You know, it's like, are you kidding me? We got so many things that are going on. Okay, let's talk about, first of all, let's get the, you know, Congress proposes a new law to fix Social Security. We talked about this, or I talked about this on Agenda 21 with Paul Preston. And do you know what their fix is? It's like, yeah, they're going to fix it all right. What they're going to do is merge the funds, because the disability fund is going to go broke next year, and then the old age fund and the Social Security fund. I can't think of the acronym right off the top of my head, but there's two sides of the fund, you know, and Social Security, and so they're going to merge the one that's going broke with the other one, because the other one's supposed to go broke in 2034.
What is it? SSI and SSDI?
I'm getting the internet's running really slow here, so I'm pulling the
sure that's what it is. One's Social Security insurance and one is disability insurance.
Hold on a second. I got it right here. If the stupid scroller would work here and some kind of a... Gosh, this is ridiculous. What's going on with the internet? It's retarded here.
Don't ask too many questions. There's been a lot of that stuff going on. But yeah. Either way,
Yeah, so what it is you got the disability insurance fund, the DI.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then you have the other trust fund, which is overseen. I thought I had the acronyms here, but anyway, it'll probably come up after the internet starts. Oh, it's the OAS is the other fund. Okay, that's old age and... gosh, this is ridiculous. I can't get the stupid internet to work. Anyway, there's two sides of the fund. How they're going to fix the fund is they're going to merge one with the other so that you can't tell which the one is going insolvent with the other by blending the funds. Yeah, the sound reminds you of
the CalPERS.
It reminds you of the CalPERS.
Blending. It's a blended glide path into destruction.
Yeah, it's a blended fund. In other words, we're going to hide our insolvency and our pilfering of one side of the fund and hide it in the other fund so you can't see it and we don't have to report. And you know, outside in the real world, they call that fraud.
Yeah.
You know, and you actually go to jail
for
that kind
of
stuff.
They're doing that a lot anyway.
They are. Well, yeah. It's essentially we have one fund over here that's broke. We have one fund over here that's doing okay. We'll blend the two together, and now we kind of have an okay fund.
Oh, yeah, and we actually called our congressman on this one and said, hey, what do you think about this? You know, it's H.R. 3150. You know, you guys have introduced this last week, several dozen members of Congress, to, you know, the One Social Security Act, another the blending of the fund. It's like it's like a bad drink at Starbucks that makes you sick. So they blend the funds together, and so that, you know, thereby eliminating the disability insurance all together and merging it with the OAS fund, and guess what? Now you don't know that they're...
Now nobody gets anything. Well, we're all broke.
Now, with that in mind...
Now we get to take your guns away.
Well, no. Wait, hold on.
No, okay.
That's later. That's later. That's down the road. Well, that's when the shooting starts. And so...
The 2015, okay, we've got this from David Stockman, why Social Security could be bankrupt in 12 years. So basically, they're saying that the OASDI, now it's, see, it used to be the OAS and the DI fund, now right. They're the OASDI fund. And so the blending has, you know, but what they're not telling you is it could go bankrupt in 12 years. But what happens, you know, how much more can we kick this can down the road? And they're pilfering from the Social Security fund, and there's a shortfall of like $1.6 trillion that are being added to the public deficit and all this stuff. So that's just all good stuff, transparency. That's your government in action. Hey, I just feel
no
so much
problem
better.
Here. You see a problem with the blending and everything?
And our local congressman has declined to tell us how he's going to vote.
Well, they said that they will issue an email once he makes his vote.
Hey, thanks
after
for that.
After the fact.
Yeah,
thanks for that.
Actually, we've been told that, I think, on three or four separate issues now. You know, when we call to say, hey, what is our congressman's position on that? We will kindly inform you, good peasants, after we have made our decision.
So this is good. This is how they typically solve. This is a typical way they solve problems, by pretending they don't exist and destroying any element of transparency and accountability in the process. Hey, thanks a lot. And in the meantime, we won't tell you how we're going to vote on this monstrosity.
You're supposed to just trust me.
Trust in me?
Yeah.
So like the snake.
The snake on Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think his name was Ka, and that was Rudyard Kipling. Only different with a Disney cartoon. But now we got another one. Congressman, and we're going to go through these fairly fast because we have another guest coming up at the top of the hour, I believe.
At 11:30.
Oh, at 11:30. Oh, so we got plenty of time. I don't have to go fast.
Well, essentially on the Social Security thing, it means anybody under the age of 47 years old is never going to see Social Security retirement.
That's assuming that it doesn't fall apart before that.
Before that.
Yeah.
In which case, seeing as I've paid into Social Security since I was 14 years old, can I have my money back?
No.
I'll even forgive the interest because I'm just that awesome. I just want the... you know, the primary. Bank.
Here's the short, transparent answer. No.
you'll send me an email after the decision's been made.
I guess Bob's telling us we got to go to a break. Let's go to a break.
All right. If you want to call in and have a question or a comment for us, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Do I get a bailout?
No.
How many roads must a man walk down before they call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must a cannonball's
people think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado, tobacco and brew, coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show on Friday, August 14th at 7:30 a.m. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Yeah, we're all right.
Got to get your shot of K-Log in there.
I don't know if we're all right, but
I'm all right.
We're doing a lot. Right. Yeah, we're doing a lot better than the others.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about some transparency. You know, let's talk about transparency at the IRS. Yeah, you know, I guess that, you know, the fact that they're using a wholly separate message system to hide their communications, this came out this last week, and some of the emails that were coerced out of the federal government under threat of, geez, they're starting to threaten them with jail, and it looks like, you know, the most transparent administration ever has pretty much done exactly the opposite of everything he's ever promised. And transparent, are you kidding me? Anybody with a freaking brain knows that these guys are subverting and hiding and intentionally, you know, targeting Americans based on their political views and hiding the fact that they're doing it. You know, so the office known as the Office Communication Server, the OCS, was used by IRS officials, including the tax-exempt unit, which was headed by Lois Lerner. Oh, no, not her. Not the one who's retired with a big, huge retirement
pension.
Package, pension, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so in the emails uncovered by the committee, Lerner warns her colleagues about evading congressional oversight. So the fact that, oh, we're trying to hide information from the Congress. Oh, gee, that's really transparent. And when cautioned, you know, she was cautioning her fellow cohorts, criminals, staff, that they need to be, you know, she wanted to know if, you know, they knew that Congress, they had to be careful because they didn't want anything leaking out in these emails. So they said they went to the electronic media of texting, basically. And so when she was informed that they were not being this instant messaging, I'm sorry, not texting, was not being archived, her response to that was perfect. Yeah, that they're trying
well,
to...
Well, that makes sense. Aren't we supposed to have a separation of powers?
People, this is not what freedom looks like. No. Okay, this is what happens when your government's out of control and they're hiding things from you while they're targeting certain people. You know, I think they did it in Germany, you know, they targeted people.
What they ought to do is subpoena the NSA.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, this whole thing is, well, I think they've got him anyway.
Yeah.
They've got him anyway because, you know, this is, you know, the DOJ, you know, is not bipartisan. So, you know, they're not going to do anything to criminally prosecute any of these people. But it looks like there might be a judge who is threatening to bring if they don't get the rest of these emails by this next Friday, he's threatening to put the director of the IRS in jail.
Nice. Do you mean somebody that has...
Yeah.
The stand-up guy that's actually going to do what they're supposed to do?
I think this guy is, because I think he is pissed off at this point. I'm not sure if I can say that, but I just did. The U.S. District Court Judge Emmett Sullivan threatened to hold the Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service and the Justice Department attorneys in contempt of court. He has the power to hold them. When he says in contempt of court, this isn't the old, oh, gee, we're going to just hold you in contempt of court and nothing happens. No, he's talking about putting them in jail.
Yeah.
Where they should be.
Okay.
And the same thing's happened with Billary, too, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what's going on the front with Hillary as far as putting her in jail, but I think that there might be contempt charges, and they're subpoenaing the...
We're going to get cut off. We're at the top of the hour, so we'll have to continue this story after the top of the hour. Again, this is KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Someone told me long ago there's a calm.
Sovereign Minds coming your way next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The Senate will cast a procedural vote tomorrow on a bill to defund Planned Parenthood in the wake of the videotape scandal.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate is prepared to take action as soon as possible.
We're going to try to move to that bill on Monday.
The bill requires a 60-vote threshold to remain on the Senate floor for a full debate. Every single Republican and some Democrats would have to support it. And some Republicans have already said they will vote no. Along with most Democrats, they say the bill would cut off funding for women's health care services other than abortion. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
Fire officials say a massive blaze raging in the Lower Lake area north of San Francisco spread overnight. Cal Fire says the fast-moving blaze has charred 71 square miles of drought-stricken ground and is threatening 5,000 homes. It's only 5% contained, already has destroyed about 50 homes and outbuildings. 12,000 people have been advised to get out. Congress is looking for ways to prevent another massive cyber attack like the one that compromised the records of millions of current and former federal workers.
New legislation from House Homeland Security Chairman Michael McCaul would give DHS more power to investigate computer networks from any federal agency and go after unauthorized intruders. Currently, DHS needs to get prior approval before doing that, but in the wake of the huge attack on the Office of Personnel Management database, this would give the agency greater authority to move quickly against such intrusions.
SRN's Wally Hines. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper has dissolved Parliament today and set an election for October 19th. Harper and his Conservative Party hope to win a fourth term after almost a decade in power. Analysts say the election, though, is probably a toss-up, and a minority government is likely to result no matter what party wins the most seats. This is SRN News.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more trips to the bathroom, waking at night to go, even longer time in the bathroom. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-859-2805. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to use the bathroom, speed up bathroom trips, reduce waking at night to go, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-859-2805. That's 1-800-859-2805. Call 1-800-859-2805.
The United Arab Emirates top prosecutor has referred 41 people to trial on charges of planning to carry out terrorist acts with the aim of overthrowing the government and establishing an Islamic State. Prosecutor General Salim Kabish says in a statement today, the group planned to carry out terrorist acts against the country's leadership and the public. The group also is accused of acquiring firearms and explosives through money raised from, quote, foreign terrorist groups. He's not saying what groups specifically were involved. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his government will have, quote, zero tolerance for Jewish extremists. At his weekly cabinet meeting today, Netanyahu said Israel is united against, quote, the criminals amongst our people, following a pair of attacks that shocked the country. Friday, suspected Jewish extremists set fire to a Palestinian home in the West Bank, killing a toddler. On Thursday, an ultra-Orthodox man stabbed revelers at a homosexual pride parade. This is SRN News. Colleges across the U.S. are debating whether it's safe to send students and faculty to study in areas of conflict.
Some scholars and students are attracted to conflict zones as subjects of study. They include a Tufts University professor who's leading a conference on civic studies in Ukraine this month. An interest in studying in the Middle East has grown in recent years. However, colleges commonly say the risk is too great. Several refuse to pay for travel to troubled countries, and some insurance policies won't cover those areas. Proponents say the reward of seeing history unfold is worth the risk.
SRN's Jeremy House reporting. Today is Sunday, August the 2nd, the 214th day of 2015. There are 151 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1876, frontiersman Wild Bill Hickok was shot and killed while playing poker at a saloon in Deadwood in the Dakota Territory by Jack McCall. He was later hanged. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sovereign Mind, Hour 3.
Sorry about that. I know better than to mention the NSA.
Yeah, I know. That's what happened.
That's why we got silent. Silence!
Yeah, you know, we got a slow internet going on today. A lot of gremlins going on. We were just talking about the break about Hillary Clinton, you know, and, you know, if you go along with the the problem that we're having here with emails and hiding servers and, you know, targeting of groups, hiding information from people, that's all transparent stuff. Now, I have another article here about the Justice Department. Issued a 68-page memo last week that said the department's inspector generals would be required to get permission from the agencies it oversees to obtain wiretaps, grand jury testimonies, and credit information. So they're trying to clamp down on the whistleblowers here. You know, the inspector generals are kind of like the internal affairs divisions of these different agencies. And so they want, they have to go. It's like
so I have to give you permission in order to investigate me.
So let's see. Exactly. Let's go to the Koskinen, Kojigin, or whatever the IRS idiot at the top there is, the commissioner. We have to go to him to ask permission while he's a crook and you know, in light of all the stuff he's been hiding and everything that's coming down and the refusal of the emails. Remember, he said, oh, they're all gone. The hard drive's been destroyed. The inspector general goes in like a week later and goes, oh, no, they're not. They're right here. You know, nobody even looked for him because, so these guys are knowingly committing perjuries. These guys are knowingly, you know, hiding information from Congress and the people. They're lying, you know, they're lying as a matter of business. It's a matter of course. I mean, these guys.
It's a daily routine.
It's their entire strategy.
Exactly. And so we're just supposed to, you know, do anything about it and let them monitor themselves.
But they're not lying this time. Everything's okay. They're not lying this time. Just in the past.
You know, it's just unconscionable what's going on right now. And the level of corruption is absolutely unbelievable. But, you know, that's what we have here. And people who don't care and think, it doesn't matter if they target, you know, specific groups. Well, what happens when they target your group? What happens?
Are you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, then it's okay. You know, it was the old thing in Nazi Germany. Oh, when they took my neighbor away, it was okay. It wasn't me and the guy down the street. I was all fine. But
he took his cow and it was okay.
No, when they came for me, it was a real problem, you know.
Because there's no one left.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, this judge has gone after these guys, and kudos to this Judge Sullivan. And it looks like there's some things that are going to start happening here because he ordered that the IRS begin producing every week nearly 1,800 newly recovered Lois Lerner emails responsive to Judicial Watch, who's been an absolute outstanding lighthouse of freedom in these Freedom of Information Act requests. Despite the court order, the IRS did not produce any until July 15th. The IRS also failed to provide Judicial Watch weekly status reports, and so they have just really ticked this judge off. And if you read, you know, go to judicialwatch.com and you can read this stuff on what's going on. And the judge is not happy. He's basically saying somebody's going to jail here if you guys don't start.
Well, it's nice to hear that we have a judge that's actually standing up and took his oath seriously of the Constitution.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens and what's the final tally on all this. But stay tuned, wait and see. It's getting hotter down there, and it's getting hotter on Hillary Clinton as well because, you know, the thing is this stuff's not going away. You know, Hillary lies randomly. They've got her knowingly lying. They've got her knowingly lying about, you know, what happened in Benghazi.
Yeah.
All of this stuff. And it's not going away, and this is going to be a problem for her campaign in the future here because she's in real trouble here.
Well, what I'm waiting for is historically when the Clintons get their back to the wall, bodies start popping up.
Well, that could be. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. These guys are as dirty as they get. But
Nina, Whitewater, you know, it's not the first rodeo for the Clintons.
Well, we'll see. But there's too many people that have known about it now. I don't think they can't do damage control anymore. It's gone too far. So, you know, She's been lying, and they know, and knowingly been, you know, provable lying, and this behavior has been, you know, basically her modus operandi. So we'll just see what happens, where we go with this, and it's amazing that there's so many people out
and,
there.
And hopefully the people won't forget. You know, they always move forward on the premise that we'll forget about what's happened in the past and move on to something different.
Well, it's worse than forgetting. 34% of the people don't know.
You
watch some of these things where people go out and, you know, they bring up things and people are like, oh, that's horrible. Hey, did you know Hillary Clinton said that? Really? You know, did you know that she did this? And people are clueless.
Yeah.
She's a woman. That's all they need to know.
Well, 80% of people, men in the country are gay. So, you know, that's according to a couple of them. So I wish we could play this. We were going to queue up, but the internet was slow. We wanted to play She's a Witch from Monty Python. I guess it's not going to happen. But maybe next week we'll get that up here.
A witch.
She's a witch. How do you know she's a witch? I don't know. Maybe we should test. If she doesn't float, she's not a witch.
Yeah.
So tie some rocks to her and throw her in the river. And if she sinks and drowns, she wins.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. You got it up there?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Bob's got it up here. It's always a little fun in games here. Let's see what happens.
We will in just a couple seconds.
Okay, but while he's keying that up here.
First, a word from our sponsor.
Congress passed a bill in 15 minutes to revoke Americans' passports without due process. This is from Zero Hedge. This was this last week. I mean, really? So what are you afraid of, that people might be free and want to use their passports to get out of the country?
And what gives them that right?
Well, they just passed a bill, H.R. 237, the Foreign Terrorist Organization. Now, you know, they don't want terrorists leaving the country, but, you know, but doesn't that kind of set up the precedent they can stop anybody from leaving the country?
That's what I'm saying.
That's it.
And that gives them the right. How?
There will be no escape.
There's no escaping. capital controls. And so, I don't know, have we got Hillary Clinton's theme song up here? I mean, it's not a theme song, but everybody remembers this scene from Monty Python. This is great. Go ahead, Bob.
The witch, may we burn her?
Who do you know she is a witch?
She looks like one.
Bring her forward.
I'm not a witch. I'm not a witch.
But you are dressed as one.
They dressed me up like this. And this isn't my nose. It's a false one.
Well?
Well, we did do the nose.
The nose?
And the hat. But she's a witch.
Did you dress her up like this?
No.
Yes.
A bit. A bit. She has got a wart.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
I got better.
Burn her anyway!
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, we don't want to go too far with that one, but you get the idea. So we got a couple more things to report before we get to our guests at 11:30, assuming we've got that all under control.
Yep, we should be good to go. He should be calling in.
Okay, so I wanted to cover, this comes from Natural News, a hidden weed killer in your bread. Commercial wheat doused with cancer-causing glyphosate herbicide right before the harvest and you're eating it. I guess this is what's going to happen to our food sources, especially with the TPP.
Well, don't worry. With the TPA, we won't get to know stuff like that soon because it's a trade barrier.
Yeah, you don't want to know what's in your food, do you?
Yeah, you don't have to know.
Yeah, most people, however, have no awareness that the commercial wheat products are saturated with this stuff before harvest. They think that this glyphosate is only used on genetically modified crops like corn and soybeans, but it turns out it is routinely used as a wheat drying chemical to speed up harvesting, and this is from your guys at Monsanto. So
well, here's the beautiful thing, too, is the agency that's reporting that. Now, if they see a dip in bread sales because of that story, they can say that entity actually caused harm to the bread sales in the company and be sued in international court for the loss of revenue.
So what's the bottom line here? And we're not just fear-mongering. If you're eating non-organic wheat, you're swallowing wheat killer.
There you go.
Now, is everybody okay with that? If you're okay with that, fine, but I think I'm going to change my diet here, and I'm going more and more and more organic.
Well, yeah, but it's not just the wheat. It's in so much of it.
I get it.
You know, it's everywhere.
You really have
to pay attention.
I encourage everybody to go to the naturalnews.com and check out the article. This is Monsanto. And didn't our guy just vote for this stuff that was backed by Monsanto?
Oh, yeah, he voted against GMO labeling. Doug Umoff absolutely voted. It was actually called the Dark Act.
Right.
Because they wanted to keep the public in the dark, whether they're eating genetically modified foods and all of the wonderful pesticides and things that go with it. You know, and then, of course, the TPA vote, which we have been all over about, you know, as I just said, is even reporting about something now could be deemed as causing a loss of revenue to an international corporation, and you could be liable in an international court for doing that. And if they say, okay, well, that has caused us a loss in revenue, they could sue them.
Well, what could go wrong?
But what's wrong with
TPA? Yeah, there's no problem. And hey, we should give our guy a pass on that. You know, we shouldn't call him on the carpet for this because he's our congressman. He's a Republican, and we should just trust him.
Yeah. So, considering that this country has lived on wheat essentially from its get go, and never had a problem these last couple of generations that have been having trouble with gluten and things like that. Maybe it's not the wheat making them sick. Maybe it's all the junk that's getting dumped on it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you go back in history, people have been eating wheat for...
Ever.
And didn't have any problem until recently, and all of a sudden now, gluten-free, it's the gluten.
No.
Well, do your homework again, folks.
Yeah, maybe it's the chemical they're spraying all over... Huda. I mean, no. You can't... No.
A chemical that happens to be illegal in 30-some other countries.
But not here.
But if you pay off your representative locally or nationwide, and your name is Monsanto, hey, it doesn't matter. As long as the wheat sales go up and the trade is going well and everything's fine, as long as you keep stuffing that money into your mattress, and you're a good guy.
Yeah, and we make it so that you can only grow our crops.
Yeah.
And not any other crops.
It
ought to be good.
And you can't save seed for your own crop
right, or
anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Monsanto knows better.
So you have the government enforcing regulations that enable a private corporation to control the crop production in this country. I believe that's defined as fascism.
What could go wrong? Yeah, I mean, really.
Oh, they have our best interests at heart
doing
that. You don't love the children,
and the trade, all these, this is good stuff. So with that, let's move on. We got a couple more stories to cover here. One is that did everybody realize that the Chinese stocks have been imploding over there in the Shanghai? And, you know.
Like a peck of New Year's firecrackers.
Yes. Down quite a few percentages. It looks like, let's see what we got here. It's down, I don't know.
You know, my favorite was last week the Chinese government started printing money to buy stocks in their own stock market to shore up the stock market.
Yeah, that's not going to work very well. You know, I mean, but it's worked here for a while.
I was going to say, don't we have the same thing going on here?
Yeah, so right now this story comes from USA Today. Chinese stocks destroy $56.3 billion in U.S. wealth. Okay, not to mention, you know, the other people that are invested in the stock market. You know, but the stocks fell 8.5% in overnight trading. That's one night they fell 8.5% Monday and another 1.7% in Tuesday. And the index has dropped more than 27% since hitting its peak back in June 12th. So they're down 27%, and it doesn't look like there's any relief in sight.
And that has no implications for the global market, correct?
Oh, of course not. No. We're fine. You know, that's not going to hurt us.
Yeah.
Neither is Greece or
so
Spain.
So if I own
Italy
a business and my business
or...
is failing, can I go in the back and print myself some money to loan it to myself to fund it as long as I promise to destroy the money that I printed when I'm doing good?
Sure. You know, as long as you put on your, you know, you got to put your eye shade on and your little cuffy linky things, you know, and then you go downstairs and you crank up the printing presses. And then you just have to be really careful you don't get caught, because if they catch you counterfeiting, because then you're competing with the Federal Reserve, they actually, you know.
You go to jail for that.
Well, they'll teach you how to make licenses.
What if I send the Federal Reserve 6% of everything that I print?
Well, that's kind of off the table too now. It sounds like, you know, if you go to the Federal Reserve website and look at what they pay out on their stock, it's 6% annually, you know. But now they're the government's starting to get a little desperate, and they're trying to pass a bill in this you know, lumping in this other bill that came out this last week that they want to knock that down to 1.5%. So you know.
Oh, they're blending.
No, that's not blending. This is called this is called squeezing. It's kind of like blending, only it's different. But
well, what I'm terrified about is if they knock them down to 1.5%, are they going to increase cash production by that much more to keep their margin up?
Well, sure. Why wouldn't you? You know, I mean, we're in the era of the NERP. The no interest rate program. Yeah. And so
yeah
we have
NERPL.
It's the NERPs.
NERPL.
You have the NERP and the ZERP. You have no interest rate programs and zero interest rate programs. I think they're kind of the same, but you know, it just depends on what acronym you want to use for quantitative easing, or you know, counterfeiting is all the same thing. But if you're at the Federal Reserve, it's called quantitative easing. If you go to your basement and do it, it's called a crime, and you go to prison for that. So, but, you know, that's how it is. So, anyway, Chinese stocks are imploding. Of course, there's no worldwide catastrophe financial upheaval coming that we've been predicting now for 5 years. It's all just going to go away. Life is good, and everything is fine as we know it. And, you know, don't look at Puerto Rico either.
Well, I'm stockpiling aluminum foil, so when there's no aluminum foil left for me to make my hat, I'll have plenty on hand.
That's it. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. Start putting it all over your windows and everything, too.
Yeah, you want to keep the radiations from the spaceships off of your food, you know, because you're just you're weird. And so, you know, anyway, moving right along, we got 5 minutes. I got a couple more stories to cover here. One is lawsuit accused 22 banks of manipulating treasury auctions.
No.
That could never. There's no manipulation in the market. I like the way Bill O'Reilly says, oh, you know, you've got the left saying that there's manipulation in the market. They're not for capitalism, and, you know, that's not an even playing field.
Capitalism.
It's like, duh. It's not capitalism. Of course they're manipulating all the markets. Of course you got to be connected to get anywhere these days, because we're not operating in a free market anymore. We're operating in a communistic, fascistic, you know, totalitarian state where the government picks the losers and the winners.
It's blended.
Yeah,
they're blending.
They're blending our freedom with slavery. Really?
And we get rainbows and lollipops.
That's right. They're it's all blended. You know, that is blended. That's the word of the day. You can get something blended at Starbucks.
Yeah. Well, that's you and I were listening
I'm
to
good
a.
Enough. Doggone it. People like me.
Right.
I'm not sure I want to be blended, okay? All right.
Well, that's the CalPERS thing that you and I listened to this week, the blended glide path.
Oh, yeah, the fact that, I mean, we listened to a seminar from CalPERS this last week, a webinar, actually, about the fund and what they're going to do to mitigate the problem with the fund, which is
the volatility of the market.
It's only 70% funded in all these unfunded liabilities, and what happens if the market crashes, and they didn't address any of that. They just started talking gobbledygook about projections that were pie in the sky. Well, if we make 18% over the next 5 years, the fund's in good shape. Well, okay. You know, if I walk out in my backyard and throw a pick like UConn Cornelius and hit gold, you know, I'm not in trouble anymore either.
Yeah, considering that this last go around, they needed 7.5% to float the fund and keep it on track to think about recovering.
Well,
and they hit like 2.2%.
Right.
And then they come up with a projection that says, well, let's look at what the fund would look like if we hit 18%.
Hey, I like 50% better. If I'm gonna have a moon pie dream, you know, I like 50%.
Yeah.
You know, it's just stupid. You know how you look at funds? You know, I've been in the business of financial business for 30 years. You know how you look at funds to decide whether they're a good investment or a bad investment? You look at past performance. You go back on a 10-year or a 20-year past performance. And you know something? I went through their whole website, and I couldn't find any of their financial highlights on past performances. But we do have a lot of projections into the future. And, you know, we went through all of their funds, and they're invested in solid stuff like government bonds. Bonds.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's
European
a good one.
Sovereign debt.
European sovereign debt. Stocks, you know, all over the world. They're investing. They got stocks in Russia. They got stocks in Iran.
Yeah.
They're still invested in Iran.
Kelpers has stocks in Iran, even though in 2007, when they were discovered, they were ordered to divest everything out of Iran. Kelpers is still funding Iran.
Wow. And they've got a lot of sustainable stuff, too. I mean, they're investing in all the UN stuff, and they're investing in sustainable development, and they're investing
in Zimbabwe.
They're in Zimbabwe stocks.
I don't know if they are.
They're in Zimbabwe. What could go wrong? Go through their stock portfolio, and and look at the book values compared to the fair market values that there's. It's like, holy crap. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are solid investments. We all know that.
That was third mortgage-backed securities. What could go wrong with Fannie and Freddie?
And I love it because they actually did show, like, a five-year historical, and the fund is nosediving the whole time. And then they're like, oh, but in 2016, with our projection, the graph goes almost straight up.
But what if we get 18%? It ought to be good.
That's right. And this is all going to be good because we have this new program called We Just Make the Shit. I'm sorry. We Just Make It Up.
It wasn't me this time.
We just make the crap.
Da, da, da.
We just make the crap up. That's their new program. What's the acronym for that? You know, the W, you know, J.
The MCU. It's like Tron, the Master Control Unit, MCU.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know, and you got to fight to get to the freedom with your little Tron frisbee or something.
Yeah, with your little information disc.
Yeah, there you go. Your little. It was unbelievable. When we were listening to this webinar, my jaw fell open. It's like, these guys are professionals?
What are you talking about?
It was the worst report for a financial institution I've ever seen in my life about complete unreality about how they're fixing the fund. And they're going to do it over. They're going to review it every 4 years. We're going to review our investments every four years and blend the funds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's blend them.
Well, we're gonna have more on this.
Well,
yeah,
because morons is the opposite of lesson. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that's what I was just saying. They're doing the same thing they're doing with Social Security. They said, oh, well, we're controlling the volatility of the market by putting us on a blended glide path.
So if we take Iranian stocks and we blend that with Zimbabwean stocks, and guess what? It looks better all the way across.
Yeah.
Then we really have a big
kind
pile of
yeah. Now instead of one fund that's falling on its face and one that's doing halfway good, we have one big one that's doing sort of good.
Kind
of
crappy, actually. And so
blended glide path.
It's the blended glide path. It's kind of like flying a plane into the side of a hill. You're gliding and you're blending everything, the wind and everything, right up until you hit this big rocky face that smashes you and you all die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess with that we'll go to a break and then we'll come back with our guest. Again,
Colin Gunn.
Yeah,
yeah.
We have him on the line,
all
so
right,
there you
good.
Go. If you want to call in again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Day after day, I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. No,
that's a game that I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Having trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, Bob, let's go to lunch today at the Classic Cafe.
I've known Millie and Kathy for a lot of years. They serve some great food down at Classic Cafe.
Home cooking, great prices, and you get a hug when you walk in there from Millie and Kathy.
And you can just spend hours checking out the walls with those historical military displays.
That's right, Classic Cafe, 2427 Athens in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. A great place to eat, a great place to see what's going on.
And a great place to get a hug.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Get involved here. I gotta just say before we get to our guest on this last story, this is from CNBC, and this is the 22 financial companies that are being sued. as U.S. primary dealers of the U.S. United States Treasury securities. They are being sued in federal court, and that started the lawsuit was put into a class action suit, alleged conspiracy to manipulate Treasury auctions that harm both investors and borrowers, and the person or the who's suing them on behalf of the State of Boston Retirement System, the pension fund for Boston public employees. They accuse Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, Citigroup, Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, HSBC, and JP Morgan Chase, and UBS, and 14 other defendants of illegally trying to profit from the sale of Treasury bills, notes, bonds, and other investors' expense. We just had to get that in, and now let's get to our guest.
Yes. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for that.
Yes. I'm ready. This is a quick show. We
Mr.
Scotty,
Gunn,
Scotty,
are you
snappy.
With us?
We have Colin
Yes,
Gunn.
I'm here.
How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Great to be in California.
Absolutely. Wow. Where are you at? You're up in Butte County, over by Orville or something?
Well, I'm in Modesto right now, but I'll be up in Orville for our event this evening. So we have a talk at the Foothill Community Church there in Orville, and I'll be talking about our film Wait Till It's Free.
Wow. Yeah. The Wait Till It's Free film is about Obamacare. Is that what it's about?
Exactly. So we had a screening in Modesto, and we've been talking about the film, and we talk about Obamacare, but not just that. We talk about a lot of the solutions to our healthcare crisis, all of the things that we can do. So it's a very positive film dealing with some of the solutions to our healthcare crisis.
Yeah, I get the feeling that some of the solutions to our healthcare crisis are going to be like that commercial where the guy calls up his doctor and his doctor's eating dinner or something, or he's out on the golf course and he says, yeah, it's a very simple procedure, this appendectomy. First you take the knife and you insert it, so he's going to operate on himself. I mean, I think that's... I get the feeling that that's where we're going here pretty soon. I don't know. Maybe your solutions are good, but, you know, gosh, it's getting pretty, you know, it's going to start kicking in here in another, you know, by 16. And then the year after that, Obamacare is going to kill us, isn't it?
Well, Obamacare is not helping. And if you watch our film, we talk about how Obamacare comes along and sort of doubles down on all the bad ideas that we already had. So, you know, we had a healthcare system that was very strongly controlled by the government, and we also had a massive over-reliance on the third-party pay system, with insurance companies being responsible for the rest of the payments that the government's not making. Obama just mandated all of that, forcing people into insurance policies that they probably wouldn't buy otherwise. And the good news, though, is that we do have free market health care around the world, even although many of the countries around the world have a socialized health care system. In our own country, and even if you're interested in going abroad, healthcare isn't actually that expensive. It's only expensive because of the way they have designed it, with the big insurance companies and the big medical industry. But what the positive side is that you don't have to do surgery on yourself. You could, though, go to another country and get a radically reduced price from the hospital down the road. Will charge you $100,000 for, you can go abroad and get it for $7,000.
You're not talking about like going over the border in Mexico and getting my retinas burned out with LASIK surgery, are you?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is a lot of these places that you go to, and it's not just Mexico, there's many places around the world, you have American-trained doctors or British-trained doctors there. You're treated like you're a customer, which is very different than when you go into hospitals very often here. And you're treated, and the reason you're treated like a customer is you're a paying customer. You're not with the hospital system. They've already got your money effectively through the insurance companies or through the government. So there's a big difference. The point of bringing up the opportunity to go abroad is that's just one of the solutions that we talk about. We do even have here surgery centers, and we mentioned one in the film, is one in Oklahoma, that's able to do surgeries at about sometimes a tenth of the rate of the local hospitals, because the local hospital is constantly inflating the prices of all of its procedures. And so you go to the local hospital, it'll be astronomical, but if you go into the free market and look around, there are options for people to find cheap medicine in the U.S., and that's some of the good news.
Well, yeah. That's good. I mean, personally, I'm so poor I can't afford any insurance, so I just figure that, you know, I'm just going to have to, you know, go with something like this Good Samaritan or something like that. I mean, and what do you see those as being? Are those viable options for health care as far as...
Absolutely, and so Samaritan Ministries is mentioned in the film, in fact, and we use Samaritan Ministries. And what they're able to do is, unlike insurance, in that, you know, you send your check off to the insurance company every month, and of course it's paying for executives and big jets and all those things. Well, the reality with this design of Samaritan Ministries is you're sending checks off to people with real needs. And that gets down to the question of what healthcare actually is. For you and I, healthcare is, you know, broken legs or a heart attack or something like that. When you give money to an insurance company, it's giving money to paying for a lot of things that you wouldn't even think is healthcare. And of course, you know, some of those things are abortion and contraception, but also includes psychotherapy or drug rehab. There's all these things that people call healthcare, but really isn't healthcare. And so that's the problem with insurance companies and or socialized medicine, that you end up funding things you don't want. And so, the Samaritan Ministry is the only pay for real, genuine medical needs. So that's the beauty of it, and that's why it's so cheap. You know, for less than $400 instead of the for a whole family, we have 9 children, and there's me and my wife. So there's 11 of us, and if we couldn't afford insurance, just like you, we couldn't.
Yeah, I can't afford
it.
Yeah, I mean, and isn't this really a partnership between the health insurance companies and the government? And they're both kind of getting what they want. The health insurance companies get huge rate increases and control over the market and no competition. And Obama gets to take over our country through the implementation of our health insurance and the government mandates. Isn't that kind of what's going on? I believe that's called fascism. Yeah.
You're so right. Absolutely. So we would call that crony capitalism, of course, you know, where the government uses its power and force to push people to buy products that they wouldn't normally buy. And so I wish I could get the government to do that for my DVDs, or your mandate that they buy something that you sell, you know. And that's what people are forced into. And insurance policies are not a good deal for the young and the fit, you know. So there's some what's going on with Obamacare and the exchanges. You know, an exchange sounds very much like a free market thing. Of course, it isn't. It is highly subsidized by the government, Medicaid. So there's a lot of government money going in to push down the cost of these insurance policies. And there's a lot of redistribution of wealth going on within that policy. So if you buy that policy, you know, you're relatively fit and you never use it, you're really paying for all of the people that are very ill when they buy it, because of part of the design of the Obamacare exchanges is that you can have you can be very sick and still go and buy policies on that exchange, you know. So that's the problem. It is redistributive and it is government controlled. It's not a free market, but that's why I'm saying you avoid that system, and at least we've got the liberty to do that. You know, if you join Samaritan Ministries, you do get that exemption that's covered under the Obamacare doctrine. So you're able to not have to pay the fine that's levied against you for not having insurance. So there's these solutions that are out there, and we're encouraging people to be aware of what's going on. As the government ruins healthcare in America, we're going to have to find some other solution, and that's what we talk about in the film.
Well, that's good. I didn't mean to interrupt, but two things is, one is that it kind of gives new meaning to them voting to get rid of passports, you know, and they use the guise of terrorism. But if you want to go out of the country, if they get that in, you won't even be able to, they'll revoke your passport on that, you know, and that gives the new meaning to control. And they use the terrorism as a plea, but, or as a ploy to control everything. And I mean, that's just the case. Linda, you got something to say?
Well, I was going to say, well, in the current system, the way they have it designed is to keep people coming back and being sick, where there is alternative measures out there that you can go to, like you're saying, Mr. Gunn, and different ways to approach it where you won't have to worry about having your health care.
Well, and
because they make it mandatory, like in the state of California, if you go in under certain preconditions.
Pre-existing,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, that you have to have your appendix removed. I mean, they're automatically going to do whether you want it or not, yeah. It's going to happen. You have to have it done.
Well, and the other side of that, what I was going to say is on the penalties. I mean, they're starting to kick in. We're seeing them on the tax return.
Yeah.
You know, these penalties are going to get huge if you don't decide to get involved some way or another. They're going to force you into some system or subsidy or of some kind.
Some kind of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of damage done to the economy shortly. With the employer mandate and all of, once that has started, but when it ratchets up every year, and you're going to see a lot of people suffering, are going to lose their jobs as a result of Obamacare. We've already seen that a lot of people, they lose the hours that they used to have. They go from full-time employment to part-time employment because their companies are readjusting because of this expensive burden that's put upon them. And that's interesting because it was initially a very bad idea and very unique in America that the employer is responsible for people's health care. That shouldn't be the case, but we subsidized that through the 40s and 50s, and eventually it became just part of the unions especially made it part of our structure of our country. And that is one of the things we should have changed to fix the system. But instead, Obama comes along and mandates it, and that's the doubling down on all these bad ideas. It's making all these things which have made healthcare expensive and coming along and using government force, and it doesn't work and hasn't worked. It is only going to make healthcare more expensive. So that's the problem with Obamacare. And it's not. Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm not to interrupt you, but people think that it's going to be, they're going to be able to afford it. And I just spent a week in a holistic clinic, and the people can't afford Obamacare. Their premiums are just off the chart. People are like, oh, it's going to be affordable. It's not affordable. They're deductible. I mean, they're having to pay $5,000, $10,000. The elderly and stuff can't begin to afford this at all.
Right.
You know, and here they're right stuck in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's a deception, and it was a gift to the insurance industry and also big medicine. You know, the hospital industry has been pushing against liberty for a long time. They've supported Obamacare for this reason, in that they win significantly from the use of government force and the expansion of Medicaid and all the rest of it. So they've been a party to this, and so many people are suffering. The good news, though, with all of the alternatives, and you mentioned something really important, is that taking care of your health, and that's no small thing. We know that is the biggest part of this. 75% of the burden, the cost of health care in America is because of lifestyle choices, the things mm-hmm. that we do to ourselves, you know? And that's amazing, and that puts the burden on us, which is fine because as conservatives, we are fine with the burden. We are all about personal responsibility and fiscal responsibility, and all rates still relates together that we should also have responsibility for the bodies that God has given us and start to take better care of ourselves. And that can be very broad and can cover, you know, sexual health, or it can cover, our diet or lack of exercise, but also stress and other things that we should really start to key in on so that we prevent ourselves from having these very expensive illnesses, especially as we start to get old, you know?
We can educate ourselves on that. I mean, it's not that difficult, and people are very good, I know, up here in the North State, of showing people alternative medicine and different ways of going about. You don't have to run down to your local doctor because he doesn't really care. He wants you a returning customer is what he wants,
right?
Because he makes money. The more you come in, the more money he makes.
Yes, exactly. So that is part of it, is that there's really different philosophies of medicine, and when you start to take personal responsibility for your health, you start and explore alternatives, and that's often the case for people that don't have insurance. They find out that while they can go and find these solutions, herbal solutions, or diet changes and things like that, rather than go and mask the symptoms with some big pharma choice
right.
that the doctor wants to give you, where you're not actually dealing with the root cause of your illness. So that's really important for people to begin to
yes.
understand. It should be a part of conservative ideology. We've given a lot of that over to the left, but we have John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, and mm-hmm. in our movie, and he's talking, he's a big free market capitalist and talks about, you know, freedom and connects it to personal responsibility and health. And so that's a big part of our movie that I'll be talking about tonight.
What time is the movie start and where is it at, Colin?
It's at the Foothill Community Church in Oroville, and we're not showing the whole movie. I'm just going to be talking, but I'll be showing clips, and so I'll be there to meet everyone too at 6:30. The doors open at 6:30.
Okay, very good. Yeah. And you're going to be offering some of these solutions. I mean, there's a lot of other solutions, not just Good Samaritan, but there's quite a few other ones that are coming into being, is my understanding, as far as insurance and so forth, and how to get, because, you know, some of us need health coverage regardless. I mean, you go out there and you fall down and you break your knee. I mean, it's not like we're completely immune with preventatives, but at the same time, these alternatives are what people are going to have to start seeking out, because it's either that or you get, you know, mandated into a system that you can't afford in the first place. And with that redistribution, they basically are going to financially sink your boat, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, that is what we're trying to avoid. But, you know, all of these cost-sharing ministries out there are doing an amazing job providing genuine health, covering the cost for genuine health needs. And if you fall over and break your knee, then that'll be 100% covered under at least Samaritan Ministries, the one I'm part of, and it's an amazing thing. It works so well because they don't have the overheads these big insurance companies have. They don't have the, you know, advertising, you know, expensive advertising on the television, and they don't have the government bureaucracy. Mm-hmm. They're a charity essentially, and it works so well and so much better than the insurance companies. So I strongly recommend that as a real solution for people to start to look into as an alternative to signing up on the exchange or you know, buying private insurance. It really does work.
What's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they can't make the meeting tonight?
Well, the best way to get hold of me is through my website, colingunn.com, and that's one L in Colin and two N's in Gunn. And they can see all my movies are available on that website. We've made 6 documentary films, one on education called Indoctrination, and we've been making documentaries for about 11 years now. So yeah, they can get hold of me through that website.
Very good. Yeah, very good. Go ahead, Brad.
One that I have some curiosity about, and I've just kind of heard about a little bit, I haven't really looked into, is these groups of doctors that are getting together and kind of purchasing clinics together in like a co-op fashion, and instead of paying insurance, you just send your $50 or $100 or $150 a month directly to the clinic, and when you and your family need health care, you just kind of go into the doctor, almost like it's prepaid health care.
It is. That's a great way to go, and a lot of doctors are doing that because they're trying to escape the bureaucracy. The bureaucracy came about through if you're having Medicaid patients or Medicare patients, and then you have insured parents. It's such a messy and expensive process to even get paid. You know, it's complicated, and they waste a lot of money and time. And that's sort of why healthcare is so artificially elevated, just because of the bureaucracy. So these doctors are doing the right thing, and I recommend there's a lot of these places. You just need to look around your neighborhood, your town, and find that those kind of places, because they work so well, and it gives the doctor a better opportunity to really take care of you. They're not burdened by a, you know, 7-minute limit that you would get in most clinics. They're able to sit and talk to you and give you value for money, and that's all we're asking for in healthcare. It's value for money, and it really does work well. And the doctors, all of the clinics that I've seen them do that in, the doctors, the first thing you know is the doctors are so much happier. they're smiling and they're friendly, and that's a big part of what you want from a healthcare professional, that they're happy with their job and they're treating you rather than dealing with these insurance companies and dealing with the government. So that's how it works so well.
Yeah. So essentially, it's like keeping a doctor on retainer.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I was just looking at your website, which has got some really good information on it. And under, you know, it's at colingunn.com. Again, that's with one L and two N's. And the solutions that you're showing are, you know, you've got several things posted up there. Telemedicine what is that, Coerce? How do you say that?
Oh, yeah, no, Concierge. So Concierge. That's really cool. And if we have that on our website, and you can actually buy it there. What it is telemedicine, and that's what I use for my family. So for $10 a month, I can call a doctor anytime, 24/7, and they will talk to me on the phone, and they'll write me prescriptions for whatever we need, and it's amazing. So for 11 people, I pay $10 a month to get a doctor on the phone.
Wow.
And you don't have to go sit and wait in a waiting room. you don't getting sick from someone else's disease. They just write your prescription and you go pick it up at wherever your pharmacy is, and that's it. So it's an amazing thing, and that's technology. And it's the free market, and it works so well. So that we're very happy with that service. It works so well.
And then you've also got healthcare, and I can't say this word to save us.
Concierge.
Yeah.
And that, you know what they do, there's another service which is a little bit more. You get the telemedicine, but on top of it, they will actually negotiate your bills for you. So if you have something much bigger, you need surgery, for example, or an MRI to check if there's something going on, they will help you find the best price for that. They will also, if you have bills, they will also try and negotiate down bills from a hospital, because that's a complicated process. They will do that for you, and that's an extra $5 a month. So, you know, that's the point I like to make, is that if you look around and find what's going on, and this is sort of what Obamacare's forcing people to do, but that's a good thing in a way. Healthcare isn't actually that expensive, as we're finding out. We have somatic ministries, and we have telemedicine, and it works so well, and we're satisfied with it.
Yeah, you also got a thing on the storable, the world healthiest storable survival food. I wanted to look into that too. That looks very interesting. And then also DigFit. I'm not sure what DigFit is. What's DigFit?
Well, that's a personal a tool to monitor your exercise rate. So how much are you walking? You know, all of those things. Helping people monitor their personal health, and there's a lot of digital tools, and that's the one I would recommend.
That's an app you can download to your smartphone.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect. Well, we only got 2 minutes left here, and then we're at the end of the show. Have you got anything you want to get out there, Colin, before we get cut off?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show, and we have this event tonight. If you're in the area, come. I just love meeting people, and I love Northern California. It's one of my favorite places. I used to live in the Bay Area, so it's nice for me to come back. But if you want to find out about all of our films, go to ColinGunn.com, and you can find out about our film. We made a film about the Bay Area called Shaky Town, about San Francisco homosexual politics. We have the film Indoctrination about the public school system, and our new film Wait Till It's Free, and we have a book now also on Wait Till It's Free that we just published. So there's a lot of resources there for those people that really want to know the truth about all of these difficult subjects. So that's what we do. So please get in touch with us through ColinGunn.com.
Awesome.
Well, we need to stay in touch, so next time that you're in Northern California, we can actually meet up with one another. That would be awesome.
That would be great. Yeah. I would love that. Let's do that.
Perfect.
Yeah, let's make sure of that. So, well, we want to thank you for coming on.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Colin. We appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. I guess we're down at the end where the music's going to come on here any second, and we're going to sign out. But, yeah, it's been great. You've been listening to Sovereign Minds, as usual. Great show. And anybody else?
Don't forget that the Coast Guard birthday is coming up on the 4th. And then we have Purple Heart Day this Friday.
And Janet Chandler at the Tea Party.
Tea Party.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And so I got to say it once again. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. I'm trying to read that too fast. You were born an original. Don't die a copy.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
And this is KCNR Shasta Redding.
I've seen 11 shootings in Baltimore, two of them fatal. Acting Police Commissioner Kevin Davis says one incident in which seven people were shot appeared to be a retaliatory act of violence. July was Baltimore's deadliest month in 43 years with 45 killings. New York City police are investigating three shootings overnight that left two people dead, 11 others wounded. One of the deaths occurred in the Bronx, one in Brooklyn. Derek Miller, who lives down the street in Brooklyn, says he was in his home when he heard the gunfire.
All I just heard was rapid gunshots, multiple gunshots, and when I waited a few minutes, I just look out the window, I see, you know, a couple of teenagers, young adults, teenagers running away from the shots.
Also, that's RNNews.com. President Obama continues to talk up his nuclear deal with Iran.
President Obama talks about the Iranian nuclear